Just Another Magic Podcast is brought to you today by MDGMadness.com and by MDGO bot Motomark. That's Moto underscore Mark. Be sure to check them out and let them know that we sent you. And now, on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the disclaimer. That's right, the disclaimer. This American Apple Pie institution, known as Parental Discretion, will cleanse any sense of innuendo or sarcasm from this podcast, which might actually make you think. It'll also insult your intelligence at the same time. So protect your family. This podcast contains explicit depictions of things about magic, and furthermore, magic online. So if it sounds sarcastic, don't take it seriously. If it sounds dangerous, do not try this at home or at all. And if it offends you, just don't listen to it.
Welcome to Just Another Magic Podcast, everyone. My name is Greystone, and with us today is, as always, Jason.
Yes, I am here to complain probably about the Shuffler.
Always complaining about the Shuffler. And today we also have with us special guest, a recurring guest, Dan.
Hi, guys!
And always, always, always overenthusiastic.
Yes! I'm always so happy when I get to be on Just Another Magic Podcast.
So I got to get this out of the way because I'm quite proud of it. What did you think about our new intro?
I approve.
Loved it. And I would like to give a special shout out to Modomart as well, because he has been doing some great things this week.
Indeed.
Yes, we'd all like to say thank you to Modomart, our new digital or on our MTGO sponsor. And as always, another thank you out to MTGMadness.com. You guys are awesome. I think the obligatories are out of the way.
I believe so. Yeah, I don't think we have any other obligatory shout-outs.
Right. So, Dan, it's been a while since you've been on. What have you been up to?
I've been doing stuff on YouTube, as usual. I've started two new non-magic-related things. I'm doing a fan of history show where I talk ancient history. And I'm doing a Game of Thrones show as well that I just did before this, and we had a ton of problems, but I think we got it down finally.
We're trying to do it right
after the episode comes live in the U.S. So
okay. So you're a Game of Thrones fan?
Yes, and absolutely do not watch the show because it's on Final History, and if you don't want... You must see the episode because it contains 1,000 spoilers. So,
it's only for
people that have seen the latest episode.
Oh, I've read all the books, so nothing's spoiled for me.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Then you must shut up because I have not read the books.
I was just going to say there's someone that was so intended to spoil the whole series, they wrote a series of books on it.
Yeah. Well, what? There was a guy or one of the teachers in North America. His class, you heard about that, where his class didn't want to settle down, so he threatened to spoil who the next death was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he wrote it up on he calmed the class down. He's like, all right, you guys are going to shut up right now, because if you don't, I'm going to spoil who's going to die next in Game of Thrones.
And they horrible.
Just silence.
See, I would have kept talking. I have never watched the show.
Nah.
It's actually quite fantastic how the Game of Thrones community can avoid spoiling the show. It's just amazing. People are hardcore about not spoiling.
Yeah, it is really... Well, again, once you've seen it, you can understand that you don't want to spoil like those moments for everyone.
It's actually... I haven't managed to post one of our episodes to Reddit because the Reddit spoiler policy is so hard that you have to fill in sort of a form about what you're going to spoil in your post on Reddit.
Well,
so I haven't managed to make it through that form yet.
Well, you have an issue already because you're using Reddit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I try and stay away from there as much as possible.
I would stay away from it if it wasn't the best place on the internet to promote YouTube stuff.
I guess. I mean, I went there for the Crackgate thing and that was about it.
Yep.
Actually, a non-magic friend told me about that.
Crackgate, how old news is that?
I know. And apparently it was a hashtag for a day or two.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand why everyone has to add the word gate onto everything.
Watergate, I guess?
Probably.
But what? I don't know who this is incriminating. Some guy who took pictures of people's plumber's cracks? I mean...
Yeah.
Must remove this man from office.
Yeah, I heard the 20 minutes on Brainstorm Brewery about that, so...
Oh,
they covered it pretty well.
I've been behind on podcasts, so...
They covered it, heavy meta... Oh, they tore into it, like... Non-stop laughter over there.
The A-Team did some good stuff with it, too.
Yeah.
Right.
It provided at least a good week worth of just comedy.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I forget what one of the posts was, but it was something like, if you had told me in the morning that I was going to look at 17 people's plumber's cracks at the beginning of the day, I would have laughed you off, but now you made me do it. Congratulations.
Yeah. All right, so that's old news. What's new news?
Journey into Nyx. Pre-releases this weekend. Are you going?
Myself, I'm gonna try. The problem is, on Wednesday, I leave for New Jersey to go on a business trip, and, should be done by about noon on Friday, and the boss, wants to get back here as soon as that's done, but it's like an 8-hour drive, so with stops and everything, I don't know if I'm gonna make it back for the midnight, and I haven't been able to find anything other than the midnight that I'd be able to do where my son wouldn't be tagging along. And he could probably do a sealed, but if I wasn't helping him, it would probably turn out very badly.
Could he at least play the games? Because I know that you can help people during sealed deck building.
The place where I was going to do the sealed said that I can't help him.
Oh, really? Because even at my local game store, when I always finish deck building early, possibly because I don't know what I'm doing, but, and I go around and I help the younger kids out, figure out what they're doing.
I thought that was like the spirit of the pre-releases, that they are quite lenient.
Well, no, apparently the one location where I could go in either the evening or the afternoon, for the Saturday or Sunday, there's some pretty stingy, I guess, players there that really are anal about it.
I remember when I first started going to pre-releases, you couldn't, but then WotC said that you were supposed to be able to. It's disappointing.
Well,
just tell him to go blue-white, right? That was good in Born of the Gods.
Well, I am definitely taking white. Definitely taking white for this one.
I don't know. I haven't looked at any of those cards yet, so...
I think my latest paper pre-release was Mirage, so I'm not going because I don't like paper cards.
I'm undecided. I probably won't, but I might.
Okay. Well, leading off of that, let's take a look at what is available, because we had the entire set spoiled, and I missed last week, so.
Yes, in the middle of, Long Friday, they released the whole set.
Yeah, you missed a great episode last week.
Yeah, I heard there was something about a naked man and pancakes.
Okay.
Those were cut from the show.
No. Censorship.
Well.
Yeah, thank you, America.
Yeah, I cut those from the show, but the rest of the show was quite good. We talked about everyone's favorite villain in the Magic community for a while.
Worf?
No, our buddy.
Oh, our buddy, okay.
Our buddy.
Your buddy or my buddy?
My buddy.
Your buddy, okay.
Yeah. Although I'm sure he hates you too.
I don't know why, I didn't do anything to him.
I think everyone should just agree to hate you. It might be better.
Dan doesn't hate me.
No, I love you.
Aw, shucks.
I miss you. It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, it is. I really need to get back into making videos. I really do. But I don't have, unless, do you have a copy of Sony, like any of the license, like Sony Vegas stuffs.
What, is that a recording software?
Yeah, well, no, it's editing software. I had 9 a long time ago, but...
I'm sure there are websites where you can get that.
The key to making YouTube videos is to never edit. Because that takes time from making other YouTube videos.
So you just spam content like those vloggers do?
Yes.
Tips from the master.
Yes, and I know Chris Weaver supports this message, because he and I share a great hatred for editing, because it's so boring. I actually have another guy helping me with editing for the Fan of History things, because they need editing.
Interesting. I've always edited stuff, even though it doesn't seem like it from when the show goes up.
Yeah, we do have some editing to our show. Especially when people are talking about Naked Men and Pancakes.
Okay, that may be the point when you need to have it.
Shout out to David. I'll send those clips to you, Dan. They're quite hilarious.
Please do.
maybe if we get enough feedback in our comments, we can maybe we'll release some of them privately.
We can be bribed. We can be bribed to release the pancakes one publicly, but I don't know about the other one.
I could publish it on YouTube.
Yeah, his international laws, he can get away with it.
Yes, in Sweden we have a little thing called freedom of expression.
Yeah.
We don't have that here, sorry.
We don't keep the man down.
Yeah, they're actually quite funny. We can definitely release the pancakes one.
Pancakes to the people.
That should be the name of a podcast.
Should be.
Cooking podcast.
About pancakes.
About pancakes.
Yep.
And every day we go to every morning we go to Waffle House, test out a new one. Yeah. I think it's got promise here.
Wait, we might be onto something.
Sounds dangerous for my weight.
Actually, I need to gain weight, so I should do that. Up in Canada, you have Waffle Houses.
No.
Oh, I was just gonna say, because down the south here, they have Waffle Houses. In Canada, they have Waffle Houses. Why don't we have any up in...
Well, we actually down, about 20, maybe 30 minutes walk from my place. We have this one absolutely amazing place that makes, waffle bacon. So it actually takes strips of bacon, puts them into waffles, and oh, so good with genuine maple syrup, not that American crap.
Canadian
maple syrup. This is probably the time to tell you that I am on a very extreme diet right now. I lost 20
Sorry, Dan.
Pounds. I lost like 20 pounds in 3 weeks.
Hey, that's awesome.
Yep. So I prefer not to think about food.
Do you have any diet plans for gaining that much weight in that little time?
Just live like I do usually. I went to Thailand for 2 weeks and I gained 10 pounds. So then I figured out, oh, okay, maybe I should do something about that.
This less expensive than going to Thailand?
Yes, to eat like people in Thailand, so. Like stupid Swedes in Thailand, so then you'll get them. Finish every meal with 10 beer.
Can't do that, unfortunately.
I know. But that's a great way to gain.
Alright, so do we have any actual content to talk about today?
Nah.
No.
Contact. Nobody wants to listen to us go through spoilers.
I know. But we have the Storm Chaser Chimera.
Yeah.
That's not on April the 16th.
Oh, we're going up? We're not going down? Okay. We'll go to April.
We can go down if you want to, but then we'll get all the boring comments first.
I prefer when they go down.
Okay. And then we get to talk about a non-existent conspiracy.
Duck Faden. Faden.
Yeah, when we get to him.
Yep. Okay, so which card is first?
Storm Chaser Chimera, 2 blue and a red for a 2/3. With flying, two blue and a red, scry run, reveal the top card of your library, gets +1/+0 until end of turn, where X is that card's converted mana cost. I need to make a
correction here. It's not two blue and a red, it's two blue red. Because otherwise you're going blue, blue, red, which would make this thing bonkers as opposed to the four CMC that it is.
Yes, excuse me. I'm tempted to compare this guy to, what is that, Mind Shrieker or whatever for Innistrad?
Except that he couldn't scry like crazy if you have a lot of mana.
But it's 4 mana, so
It's my four mana repeatable.
My trigger comes down on turn two.
There seems to be a theme of gigantic mana things in your Nintendix, which will always have some casual appeal.
Mm.
I don't know if this is playable in Limited.
Oh, very playable in Limited. First off, it's 2-3, so yeah, it's gonna die to Lightning Strike, but it's got evasion, and you can scry to find your next card and still boost its power. I mean, people are going to be playing gods. People are, like, they're Tromocratus of, what, he costs like 8? Can you imagine adding that onto this?
Sweet.
I'm sure someone will live that dream, and I'm sure it won't be me.
If I can make it possible, I will try and live that dream for you.
Well, start drafting a lot.
All right, next
we have... get a rare in pack 2 and an uncommon in pack 1.
Next we have Revel of the Fallen God. 3 red, red, green, green. Sorcery, put 4 2/2 red and green satyr creature tokens with haste onto the battlefield.
Seven mana.
7 mana for...
Looks like one of the worst satyr parties ever. They are not having any fun in that picture.
No, they aren't, because it's probably not going to be cast very often.
Well, Revel of the Fallen God. Fallen God, red-green. Red-green was Xenagos.
Yeah, isn't he supposed to be dying in the story? Dead.
Yeah, I'm thinking that this is a premonition to Xenagos being dead. Mind you, I've got here's a conspiracy
from Elspeth, right?
Thing. Yeah, Elspeth. Hero's Downfall was brought to us in the first set, right?
Yep.
Yes.
That's, I believe, a precursor or a premonition or whatever, foreshadowing. There we go. For the trailer, for the Journey trailer, which has Erebos pretty much insinuating that he was going to be taking Elspeth's life. So I'm wondering, is she going to make the final sacrifice? Is she going to make the final sacrifice and either give up her spark or kill herself or suicide or whatever in order to take Xenagos down from godhood?
Are they going to kill another planeswalker? Especially a very popular.
In that trailer. Either she is going to die or somebody else is, because somebody was definitely going to die in the trailer.
Yeah, someone wanted their prize.
Well, in Hero's Downfall's art, it's definitely not Elspeth. Looks like an Acroan guy getting stomped by a Minotaur.
Yeah.
Elspeth isn't Acroan, and Minotaurs are not.
No, but Hero's Downfall hits planeswalkers.
That's true.
So that's my theory. And looking at this Revel of the Fallen God, and they're definitely not happy about what's happened. So Xenagos has fallen, and the world grows dark without him. What can ever fill that darkness but our rage? So Xenagos is going to get his ass kicked. Well, ooh, you're going to have to ding that out.
Ah, we'll leave it. Dan's recording this and throwing it up on YouTube right after. I forgot to tell you that. So no cuts.
Uncensored, all right. All right, so that out of the way... Fleet Feather Cockatrice. Dan, you want to take this one?
3 green and a blue for a flash 3/3 flyer with death touch with monstrosity 3 costing 5 green and a blue. So the good old 3/3 flyer for 5 has got some improvements.
Yep, flash, flying, death touch. Those each are worth 1 mana apiece. I'd say this is costed properly, plus monstrosity on top of it.
Well, 2 things from my perspective. Wasn't Cockatrice shut down a year ago? And is there a reason to have Death Touch on a 3/3 flyer that's possibly going to be a 6/6 flyer, or is Death Touch just redundant?
What you're telling me is someone went back to M13, grabbed Plummet, and killed Cockatrice?
It was also an M14, and that is how you kill Deathgaze Cockatrice in M14 as well.
Yes. It looks like, if nothing else, it's a 5-mana sort of removal spell.
Again, does Death Touch matter on a 3/3?
Yes.
To me, this isn't a removal spell.
Land, right?
Yeah, Death Touch is relevant on anything. Death Touch in the air is even better.
Okay, when are you using this as a kill spell instead of a flash beater that just...
You're not, you're using it as a roadblock.
I guess.
Yeah, it's not a 5-cast kill spell, or potentially you could use it as a 5-cast kill spell, but no, it's a roadblock. You drop it down, your opponent's not going to want to attack into it, and they can't go over top of it. The only thing that they can do is first strike it.
And even then you have the monstrosity.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. And I mean, what the... Oh god, kill it. I opened up the DLC like half an hour ago. Why are you opening now? Go, disappear.
I opened up the Magic Online beta. I've been giving it another shot. I said I'll give it a shot for 3 days. And it took 15 minutes to close earlier, should I?
Soon they will force you to play it for another 2 days.
God, I will just have to suffer with no Magic Online. Who
yeah,
knows,
I'll
maybe...
take 2 days off, it will be great.
I know. Maybe I should move on to the Fleet Feather Cockatrice to play
maybe.
Magic.
Yeah.
Or actually go to FNM.
All right, so next...
Cockatrice servers? They are Fleet Feather, you can't shut them down?
Correct, correct.
No, it would have to have hexproof.
That's true.
Okay, is this good enough to be playable in block, even?
No.
Okay.
Block? No.
I mean, I played a lot of block. No. I mean, it shuts down Stormbreath Dragon.
Are you still playing block?
I haven't played block in a while. I want to kind of get that Storm Chaser Chimera for block.
Mm-hmm. Well... As you know, I will probably have many playsets of the commons and uncommons in a month or two, so.
Yeah. All right, so we got a lot of spoilers to go on. So Gold Forge Sentinel, 6 mana for a 4/4 flying artifact, another Chimera.
Bad.
Have we seen this card ever before? It seems like, but an artifact 4/4 flyer for 6 has never been printed, as far as I know.
It's not bad. It's definitely, it's playable.
It would be good in M14.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe an M14. I don't know. 6 mana, not mana, or sorry, 6 colorless, not mana dependent, a 4/4 flyer. It's not bad.
It's not great. On the
it's
subject.
It's not great, but it's not bad.
M14, just for those of you who have not drafted it, I was watching a stream earlier. DPG20__, great streamer. You should check him out. He was drafting M14. He had garbage.deck with Jace in it, and he 3-0'd.
Yeah, Jace will do that. I play a lot of M14 right now. I haven't played a single match of Theros Limited, so that makes me highly qualified to give comments on Theros Limited.
Theros Limited is terrible. I should
but,
be doing M14.
I have played. I promised 100 videos of M14 on my channel, and in October, people stopped making videos. So I had to do the rest myself, and I'm up to 99 now, so I'm doing another number 100 tomorrow. Mm. I had a win streak of 19 straight wins.
So, wow.
Yeah, I'm at the stage now. I love Corset Draft, and at this time of year, it's like, oh, I seem to have figured it out.
Oh, yeah, the format, I mean, I did 80 or so of the new player events, and then I just jumped into an 8-4, and I won that. I think I won 3 8-4s, and then I finally started losing them.
Yeah.
But I got a grasp for the format, and...
And I must say, it is quite broken compared to what M13 was.
M13 was great.
Yeah.
I did one draft of it online, and it was a really bad red-green deck, and I 3-0'd. That was back when I didn't know.
I hope they downpower blue for M15.
No, blue is the best color in Magic.
Yeah, of course it is, but it doesn't need to be that good in the core set as it is in M14. But maybe we should go back to Yearn into Nyx.
Yeah, yes. Deserter's Quarters for 2 colorless. You may choose not to untap it during your untap step. 6 tap target creature doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step for as long as it's tapped.
Can you break this with some sort of combo in some format?
No.
So you can tap multiple creatures?
Not in limited, I mean, it's a...
No, not in limited, but in some format.
Wouldn't you just rather Vedalken Shackles a bunch of guys?
Probably.
Yeah, this has been done before, but I don't think it's been done.
With the shackles, you lose control immediately, right? But here you lose control in the untap step.
Wouldn't you rather use Cyclonic Rift?
Yeah, or 1,000 other cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 6 mana to lock something down.
Actually think it's going to be very good in limited, though. Because the format is all about Voltron, you shut down their Voltron with this guy. So yes. I'm actually a huge fan of the card.
Okay.
Do you have 6 mana in Theros Block Limited?
It depends. A lot of the green X decks have their Voyaging Satyrs and Mana Dorks in general, so you're able to power out creatures and, well, other spells early.
Yeah, so this is a green card in disguise.
This is a green card, yeah.
Yep.
Or blue, because you can tap down things with whatever the new Frost Breath is with Scry.
All right. So next is Chariot of Victory. 3 mana, artifact equipment. Equipped creature has First Strike, Trample, and Haste for an equip cost of 1.
What do you think about equipments in this format?
I'm thinking that this is an incredibly powerful card.
Then what do you think about Prowler's Helm? Because that's what I'm comparing this to.
I'll have to look that one up because I forgot it.
It's 2 mana for an equip 2. The creature is unblockable except by walls.
Ooh.
Uncommon from Theros.
No. Oh. Would I want unblockable or, no, I'd have to go with the Chariot.
Chariot over that.
Yep.
See, I think Prowler's Helm is fringe playable. Whenever I play it or see it played, it's really, really good for me. I think it's much better than Chariot.
See, I'd want Chariot for the something, I play something, it comes down, I equip, give it First Strike, Trample, Haste, push whatever through, afterwards, pay one more mana, put it back on a defender, so I've got the First Strike ready to sit back and defend me.
It depends on what point in the game you're at. Like, if you're ahead, you obviously just want the unblockable, but I guess if you're behind, you want the First Strike.
Well,
but in this,
behind or ahead, Chariot helps you.
In this format specifically, if you're behind, First Strike does nothing. You have to deal with the creature, the threat, whatever it is.
Okay, put this on to... equip this to a... Nessie Nass. No, equip...
That's First Strike.
Yeah, First Strike
equip
Death
this,
Touch is a nice combo.
No, equip this to a Nessie and Asp.
I mean, Nessie and Asp on its own is fine.
Yes, put this on it, bonkers. All right,
well,
next
would
up,
you rather have an unblockable 4/5?
No, I'd rather have the First Strike Trample.
Fair enough. What pick do you see this going?
Ooh, I can't say.
I was thinking 10th or so. I don't think it's really good.
Well, what about the next one, Armory of Iroha?
All right, Armory of Iroha for 2 and equip for 2 whenever enchanted creature attacks. Put a +1/+1 counter on it.
Equipped creature.
Equipped, excuse me.
That's a conditional M13 ring, isn't it?
It's
like the M13 rings, but worse.
I prefer the rings a lot, and this guy is uncommon. Yes. The rings were common, I believe.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in this.
I think they were uncommon.
Oh. I mean, this is like a strictly worse ordeal. Right?
Yeah,
well,
it
helps. It would help trigger ordeals, but yeah, no. It's
yeah, but if
no.
you go turn 1 favorite hoplite, turn 2 ordeal, turn 3 armory, your hoplite's ordeal is still popping off on turn 3. Turn 2. No. Turn
yeah. 3. It doesn't matter. It's no, common maybe. Uncommon? No.
Yeah, this is a bad uncommon. I really don't know why they put it at uncommon because it's such a squished rarity. Seems
all right,
bad.
Now, what about Swarmborn Giant? 2GG, 6/6. When you're dealt combat damage, sacrifice it, and it has a monstrosity of 6 for monstrosity 2, and as long as it's monstrous, it has reach at uncommon.
That's a lot of power for 4 mana.
It is a lot of power for 4 mana.
But it doesn't look like a limited card, does it?
No. It clogs up the ground quite nice for 4 mana.
Yeah, but then he attacks you with 2/2s and lose 1 and you lose your giant.
Alright, I gotta look up. There was an enchantment that did that? What was it? Vorals. Vorals the Scar-Striped. With the way that black-green has been going, or what we've seen so far of the set, each creature in your graveyard, if anybody remembers this, has scavenge. Scavenge is equal to its mana cost. If you can put this into your graveyard, or somehow it makes it into your graveyard, then so 4 mana for 6 +1/+1 token or counters, that could be pretty nasty.
I mean,
that's turn 3 into turn 4.
I had to run to the bathroom for a second. What did you guys say about this in Limited?
Bob?
I think he's nuts.
You do?
You get this guy down on turn 4? I mean, he can be conditionally bad. He can be a mulligan in some hands. But he's going to at least 1/1 because they have to attack through him to get it to sacrifice. So
yeah,
he's
attack
at
through
worst
or
a 1/1. He's a 4 mana guy that can completely take over the game.
But if you want to attack, he could be worthless because, yeah, they'll take 1 hit and then he dies.
So 4 mana deal 6 damage to your opponent is a bad card? And force them to attack on the swing back?
Oh, you're making a good case for it.
And then, if they have to chump, you're getting a 1/1 out of this guy, and you're forcing them to attack like a Biden of Thassa effect. And the monstrosity is the icing on the cake. I think this guy is insane and likely a first pick.
I wouldn't go as far as first pick.
Especially in a green deck, which is a kind of swarm, but build up in the late game with a big trample guy.
You got me. I'm convinced.
But you're never going to draft the format, so I didn't,
no.
didn't change anything. Hey, everyone listening, pass these guys to me. I'm in green.
The first thing I thought when I saw him was, is there a sideboard space for this guy in some constructed format? But he's too weak for that.
Yeah, I liked what you were saying about Varals, but, I mean, it's not even playable in Modern with the 13-13 for 1, or the 8-0 for 3. It's not seeing any play.
No, I think someone should, though. But and, I can see graveyard stuff. I can see someone trying to break rock, because they're already trying to do it anyways.
Think of this guy as Nemesis of Mortals. He sees fringe constructed play.
Alright. That thing of heroes. Solidarity?
Solidarity?
This has that, image of, that we got in the, letting us know that a Johnny was confirmed to be in the set. A giant paw on her shoulder. One in a green.
Johnny is really tall.
Yeah. One in a green, instant strive. Of heroes cost one and a green more for each target beyond the first. Any number of target creatures, double +1/+1 counters on each of them.
You're struggling today, Greystone.
Yeah, I know.
I do every day. It's nothing unusual.
How often do you have +1/+1 counters on your guys in Heroes Limited?
Lots.
Not really that much. Except for ordeals and heroic guys.
All the heroic triggers. This goes straight into a green-white heroic deck.
Wait. This triggers heroic and then happens. This could be insane.
So this automatically will put 2+1/+1 counters. Minimum.
Yeah, and then if you're putting it like on that Centaur Battlemaster, you're gonna have a 9/9 by the time you're done.
Sweet.
That said, a lot of green decks that I have drafted have no heroic themes in them. So, it's a card that's probably gonna go late, and it's one of those cards that, if you want one, you'll probably be able to get one.
Isn't this a classic, like, uncommon that gets to the people who want it?
Right, right. Like, the 7-mana enchantment from M14. I can't think of the name.
The,
Dismiss into Dreams.
Yes.
Yeah, Dismiss. You can always pick up a Zephyr Charger or Dismiss if you're looking to play that deck.
Yeah, I would not recommend that.
Oh, come on.
I haven't managed to do that in 100 tournaments.
Oh, it's really good. I had it in the sideboard once. It was the finals of an 8-4, and I decided to pull it out of the board for game 3, and I stomped him with it.
That's nice.
And then in some of the new player drafts, since you're not risking much, I forced it a few times. And it wasn't great, but it was fun.
I'll have to do that. That sounds like
especially
fun.
Especially for the stream.
Yep.
Alright, so next is Satyr Grove Dancer, one and a green for a 1/1 when it enters the battlefield. Put a +1/+1 counter on target creature.
Fine.
At common.
2-mana 2/2 with upside, right?
It's a bear, conditional bear, or trigger
well,
bear.
Well, it's always a bear.
Good in Terra's Limited?
They're fine. They're not bad. I mean, Traveling Philosopher is playable.
Right.
This guy's really good with, the 3-mana 3/3 centaur in Theros. He's an uncommon, forget what he's called. But if something has a 1/1 counter, you draw a card when he enters the battlefield, so he's a 3-mana 3/3 cycler, which is pretty insane. So I think this guy's fine. Reviving Melody, 2 and a green, choose one or both, return target creature card from your graveyard or your hand to your hand, and or return target enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. This is Dawn to Dusk 2.0. Looks promising, but is pretty bad.
Aren't most of your stuff on the battlefield in Theros?
Yeah, I mean, and if your Voltron creature dies and you have 4 or 5 Bestow guys in play, you can't re-Voltron your creature.
No.
So, I mean, you get back an Ordeal and a 3/3 that you Voltroned, and it's just not good.
Not a sorcery. If it was instant, then maybe.
Yeah, in a green-blue deck, hold up counterspell, oh, you didn't do anything, end of turn, do that. That's fine, but it's not an instant.
Yeah. Now, the next one I like at common, Pharah's Band of Thunderhoof, 4 and a green for a 3/4 heroic, gets 2+1/+1 counters.
That's like a better version of Stauncharted Warrior.
Much better version.
Because yeah, on its own, it's a playable card. Not a good
one. On its own,
but
it's out of Lightning Strike range.
Yeah, it doesn't just die to removal. I mean, if you're on the draw and they want a sip of Hemlock that's fine.
Sounds like a decent target for Solidarity of Heroes.
Yep. I think I'd rather have a Centaur Battlemaster most of the time, but this guy's a common. Battlemaster is an uncommon and one of the best cards in the format, so.
You can have both.
I know, the Taco Kid. Neither of you probably get that reference.
Nope. Nope.
Anyway, any Americans will get it. I'll grab a link for you too.
Okay.
All right. So Oak Heart Dryads. 2 and a green, 2/3 constellation. Whenever it or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, target creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn at common. Thoughts?
It's three mana, 2/3, which is okay in the format. It has upside when it enters the battlefield, and whenever another enchantment enters the battlefield, it has upside. For a common, I think it's good. It's not anywhere close to a first pick, though.
Nice to have.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Want me to take the next?
Sure, while Greystone watches that video.
Nessian Game Warden. 3 green green for 4/5. When Nessian Game Warden enters the battlefield, look at the top X cards of your library, where X is the number of forests you control. So, probably at least 2. You may reveal a creature card from among them and put it into your hand. And that means that, if this happens, it's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a 5 mana 4/5, which I would play anyway, with the upside of cycling. At worst it does nothing, but on average it'll cycle for a creature. And
is it really on average? How many creatures? Do you run 15?
Yeah, 15 creatures. So if you do it for 2, you're likely to hit a creature. If you do it for 3, you're very likely to.
Yeah, and if you do it later in the game, you are...
Yeah, and if you have... Realistically, you're probably looking at 4 or 5. You're getting a really good creature out of there.
Yes.
He's definitely not a top-end card. He's more of a mid-range card. You don't want to be topping out a green-white heroic deck with this guy for obvious reasons. I don't think a Staunch-Hearted Warrior or Hero of Lena Tower does anything in the late game. Next we have Nature's Panoply? Panoply.
What the
Panoply.
Hell is that?
I don't know.
Panoply, is that a game that people play with fake money? That looks like Canadian money?
Yeah, so that's a 1 green instant with Strive at 2 and a green. Choose any number of target creatures. Put a +1/+1 counter on each of them.
It doesn't target, correct? Because it says choose.
It says target.
Any number of target says target creatures.
Panoply means a complete or impressive collection.
Okay.
So nature has a large collection of things.
Palm trees, apparently, from the picture.
Yeah, palm trees. Nice. I don't know if that's a target or not. Let me see. David happens to be
an
L1 judge.
On the first, that looks like a target to me.
Is the FAQ out yet?
A target.
It is?
It has two words.
Choose any number of target creatures. I missed that. Yeah. I thought it said choose any number of creatures.
Each target beyond the first.
Yeah. Okay. I thought they worded the Strive funny. All right. This is absolutely nuts. It's a combat trick, triggers heroic, for 1 mana, and the Strive thing can just completely blow your opponent out of the game. I really think Strive is a good mechanic, especially if the format slows down.
Will the format slow down?
I have not looked over all of these cards yet. Actually, all these commons I've not seen yet, so I will be able to say that by the end of the show.
Well, I'm going to say with Market Festival at 3 and a green, enchantment aura, enchant land. Whenever enchanted land is tapped for mana, its controller adds 2 mana in any combination of colors to his or her mana pool on top of the other mana. That's going to speed things up a bit.
Huge things.
Yeah, but if you're doing nothing else on turn 4, and someone's playing a red-white, blue-white, green-white heroic deck, they probably are able to win on turn 5.
Isn't doing nothing on turn 4 a recipe for disaster in most limited formats?
It is, usually. And like, in M14, that would have been fine. What was the 3-mana card? Verdant Haven was nuts in M14, if you had something to ramp to. But 4, 5, 6-mana do-nothing enchantments... not really good. Like Deadbridge Chant in Dragon's Maze.
Well, hold on. You're saying playing this on turn 4. Did you not talk earlier about the Voyaging Satyr and Green Ramp?
That's definitely true. Voyaging Satyr is only in one pack, though. So you're not as likely to see a Voyaging Satyr as you were in Theros, where everyone, in Triple Theros, everyone had a Voyaging Satyr or two. And then when Born of the Gods came out, Voyaging Satyr is moved to its first 5 picks. So when Journey comes out, it's probably your first or your second pick in the Theros pack. Whereas when
you
I
have
was...
to pick Market Festival then and commit to
right, and then
way too early.
You don't know if you're getting a Voyaging Satyr. Like if this was Triple Theros, if that was in Theros, and let's say it was a really slow format with really high end bombs, it would be fine because Voyaging Satyrs would go 9th, 10th, 11th pick when it was Triple Theros. Not anymore. You're lucky to get a Voyaging Satyr past 5th.
Okay, next.
Humbler Mortals, 4 and green for 5/5, so 6 mana 5/5. And it has Constellation. Whenever Humbler Mortals or another enchantment enters the battlefield, blah blah blah, creatures you control gain trample until end of turn.
I mean, it certainly is no, what's it called? Craterhoof?
No.
That said, a 6-mana 5/5 is fine.
You're also going 3 degrees of rarity. This is down at common.
Uncommon. Oh no, that's a common.
No, this is common.
Oh my god, that's insane. A 6-mana 5/5 is playable in this format to begin with. I mean, look at Nemesis of Mortals. I know they're completely different cards, but...
yeah, no, definitely playable.
I have played Nemesis of Mortals on turn 6, and it's just completely taken over the game, even when I don't monstrosity it, so... This guy's
in,
great.
In Born of the Gods Limited, how many enchantments do you have, generally, before this is added to the mix?
Well, this set seems to have a lot of enchantments in non-red. Yeah. Red seems to not have too many, but...
Alright, well, we're coming up on red if we can keep this going. Golden Hide Ox, 5 and a green, 5/4 with Constellation. When it or another enchantment blown, target creature must be blocked this turn if able.
Lots of green fat here.
Lots of green fat. And with the number of enchantments, this must be blocked makes things very interesting. Forcing a combat trick. Or sorry, forcing combat.
Yeah. Opponent
usually does not like that.
I mean, Cunning Mark, I think it was. I think it was Cunning Mark. That card was fine.
If that was
not a card you had to discard, that would have been fine. But since you had to discard a card, you were getting, at best, a 1/1. At worst, you were getting 2/1.
Right. But that was at instant... What? That was,
that
an
was
instant,
a sorcery.
Right? A sorcery. Even worse. This is a
this guy
that's replayable.
Allows you for 6 mana to have a 5/4 body, close to playable on its own, with massive upside. This card is insane.
And it itself is an enchantment creature. So yes. He will trigger off all the other Constellation stuff that's out there. Now the next one, it's gonna see standard play. It's going to have to see standard play. Desecration Plague.
No.
For 4 mana? Sorcery?
You don't think it's going to see any play? Destroying target
mana,
enchantment or land?
Sorcery to destroy it. I mean, it's like Demolish. Did that ever see play?
That was Artifact though. This is enchantment.
But
isn't
there
a lot of
ton of better ways to remove enchantments in Theros?
Yeah, you have Naturalize, which is 2 mana to do the same thing. You have the 2 mana one that shuffles it into their deck. This doesn't even deal with gods.
This
card's absolutely terrible.
Deals with Mutavault.
It's a very expensive way of dealing with Mutavault.
That's a 4 mana answer to Mutavault. Mutavault isn't that great.
All right. I don't know.
Moving on, Consigned
to
Dust, or 2 green, destroy any number of target artifacts or enchantments.
Hey, this is strictly better than Desecration Plague.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. We can strive it for 2 and a green for another target.
Yeah, they're never going to bring back Tranquility, are they?
No, it has been a long while since we saw a Tranquility.
If Tranquility was in Theros...
yeah.
If Tranquility was in Theros, you would be getting 5/1s in Limited.
When was the last time we saw a Tranquility-like effect? It's been ages, right?
I think the one I have on Magic Online is from, like, Weatherlight or something.
And it was in, like, 9th or something?
But, I mean, we can't even think about something like that in the current format, because that's just... that's just draft mono-green creatures. Oh, look, your heroic deck has suddenly turned into nothing.
All right. Speaking of heroics, we got Colossal Heroics at 2 and a green, instant... any number of target creatures get +2/+2 until end of turn. Untap those creatures, and it's got Strive for 1 and a green.
That's a reason to worry if the opponent has a lot of mana untapped.
Yeah, that's Savage Surge with upside.
Yep.
Target a million guys. Even if you target two guys, it's still fine. This card's good. I mean, it's probably a 2-for-1 for 5 mana.
The next card I'm actually very excited about.
I wish it was a common.
Jason could have told you that I was going to be excited about this.
Why?
Yeah.
Take a look at it. Tell me, read it and tell me that I would not be excited about it. Yep. Green, green, 2-1, hexproof reach. Creature,
I wish it was
human,
a common.
Archer.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish it was a common. Oh god, do I wish it was a common. But
yes.
Between this, Glade Cover Scout, and Witch Stalker, I'm wondering if between now and September, there could be a standard Boggles.
There is a standard Boggles, isn't it? Isn't there?
But make it better.
Yeah, this will definitely be improving that deck.
I have to say one thing, I am a little surprised. Like, I can understand the reach because it's an archer, but anytime I see archer, I think tap, deal one damage to a flying creature.
Whenever I see archers that are 2-1s with reach, I think Death Touch, not Hexproof.
It's been so long, it took so long for them to play, put the 2-mana creature with Hexproof in the game, right? We had the 1-1s and the 3-1s for 3, and...
Yeah.
I mean...
At Uncommon, this is your Voltron. This is I would first pick this. That's me.
Next one?
Wildfire Cerberus, 4 and a red for a 4-3, Monstrosity 1 for 5 and 2 red, ew. When it becomes monstrous, deals 2 damage to each opponent and each creature your opponent controls. That's a really expensive pyroclasm.
But it only hits your opponent's creatures, and it leaves you with a 5-4 body. So would you pay 7 mana to pyroclasm your opponent's creatures and your opponent and get a 5-3 out of the deal? I say yes.
That sounds quite sweet.
Eh, I don't like it. Especially when you have something like Starfall coming up next at 4 and a red, instant, deals 3 damage to target creature. If that was an enchantment, deal 3 damage to that creature's controller. So for the exact same mana, you can kill it before anything happens.
But Starfall is unplayable. If it said to creature or player, that would be fine, but for 5 mana, I mean, this is not...
I was about to ask, is removal this bad in Terror's Book?
Removal is pretty bad, but this doesn't even destroy the creatures that matter. I mean, you can try to compare this to Punish the Enemy, but it's just worse than Punish the Enemy.
Yeah, it is.
So maybe this card is terrible.
Maybe that's why it's a common. Sigiled Skink, 1 and a red, 2-1, whenever it attacks, scry 1.
I mean, it's fine. Bears are okay, especially in red decks. He's fine. Oh my god, Magma Spray was reprinted.
It was.
Anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. I didn't know that.
Rouse the Mob, a red, for an instant. Any number of target creatures get +2/+0 and trample until end of turn, and 2 and a red for an extra target.
Yeah, 2 and a red for Strive. This is awesome. In a format like this, +2/+0 and trample is awesome.
I think you're incorrect. I think it's fine in a green-red deck, but if you're looking at a red-white heroic deck, I think it's absolutely unplayable.
Oh no, I wouldn't put it in red-white heroic. Red-white heroic, trample doesn't mean anything.
But if you're looking red-green? To go over the top in a red-green deck, I think it's playable.
Red-green, red-green heroic, this is a lot.
Well, it doesn't even matter in heroic. Slam this on a Nessian ass. Good game. I mean.
Yeah, and it's common and instant. I love it.
It's
I like it.
Probably 6th or 7th pick.
How many combat tricks can you afford?
Depending upon you counting your bestows or not counting bestows, I'd say 5 at most.
Yeah, there seems to be a lot of competition for the combat trick spot.
Yeah. Up next, Relic of Abandon, 3 red-red. All creatures get +2/-2 until end of turn.
This seems good in a red-green deck again. It seems like reasonable sideboard against a red-white swarm deck, which there are a lot of. I think it's good, but not too bad. Not too good, excuse me.
5 mana for that at sorcery. I can't get behind that.
There are very few utility creatures, right? So if there are small creatures, they are supposed to attack.
And if they're small creatures, they just get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if they're doing the swarm on you, you're going to be dead by turn 5 anyways.
Fair enough.
Pensive Minotaur, 2 and a red for a 2-3. Minotaur Warrior.
Yeah, apparently being pensive makes you red, while being undead in M14 makes you black. So it's the same card, like Undead Minotaur.
Yeah, they've printed so many 3-mana 2-3s Minotaurs.
Yep, that's good. You know what? Everyone calls a 2-2 a bear. Then you got your hill giant. I swear, 2-3 is going to be a minotaur.
Yes, good old Herlong.
All right. Now, Jason, go off on Magma Spray.
Magma Spray.
Jason, oh, he's gone.
It's Magma Spray. Okay, I'll
see. Sorry, I
he's
was...
He's building up. He's building up to it.
No.
Yes, do it, Jason. It's Magma Spray.
I was actually
to hear your opinion.
Chatting with the owner of Motomart. Shout out to you.
Oh, shout out.
Tell him hi.
I will do that. Magma Spray for a single red instant, deal 2 damage to target creature. If that creature would die this turn, exile it instead. Reprint Insane deals with Voice of Resurgence. Oh my god, it's awesome. It's like Pillar 2.0, except it doesn't hit players. But it's an instant, so that's a good trade-off.
It was missed.
Except, I don't know. Can't hit players, can only hit creatures. Just because it hits a voice, you're not going to be seeing voice in limited. Blah.
I'm not saying it's a good limited card. I'm saying it's a constructed card. That said, I think it's okay in limited, not great.
So do you prefer it in like pillar sees occasional play in modern, but you'll
Magma
Spray
is already in modern, so.
Yep, no effect, no change.
Right.
Next card, which is bad. Lightning Diadem, 5 and a red, enchantment aura, when it enters the battlefield, 2 damage to target creature or player, and the enchanted creature gets +2/+2.
I was going to call you out on that. I thought that said 2 and a red, but this card is terrible.
Bad.
If it was 2 and a red, that would be nuts, though.
That would be pretty good, yeah.
But then again, if things costed 3 less, we would have 1 mana Jace the Mind Sculptor. Oh my god.
Next we have a great name.
Knowledge and power.
4 and a red for whenever you scry an enchantment. Whenever you scry, you may pay 2. And if you do, knowledge and power deals 2 damage to target creature or player.
Why do they use such great names on such terrible cards?
You know, this is to scry what Lightning Rift was to cycle, but worse.
Yeah.
Do you remember do you remember Lightning Rift?
No.
No? Alright. Lightning Rift came to us from Onslaught. It was 1 and a red for an enchantment.
Oh, the cycle card, yes.
Yeah,
oh,
whenever whenever a player cycles, not just you, whenever a player cycles, you can pay 1, and it'll do 2 damage to target creature or a player. This knowledge and power, whenever you scry, you may pay 2 to deal 2 damage to target creature or player, maybe unlimited. This is never going to see constructed play. Ever.
Ever.
This is never seeing limited play either, my friend. If this was pack 3 and you were in a heavy scry deck, that's different, but this is complete garbage.
If you were, you know what, maybe in sealed, if you managed to get the Prog Sphinx, if you can get the red-blue shell, this thing could be awesome, but...
Really.
It needed to be lower cost.
Greystone.
I'll tell you what this looks like. This looks like when you're doing your 80th draft and you're desperately looking for new ideas, you can pick this and try to build around.
Wasn't there like a 3 Phyrexian mana thing in New Phyrexia that said if when you cast a spell with Phyrexian mana, deal damage equal to that mana cost to your opponent or something?
Sounds better.
Yeah, that's much better than this. But
I've
you're incorrect. If you scry 1, 2, 3, or 4, you can still only activate the ability once.
Yeah.
Oh,
I thought you didn't know that. We just assume that we're all bad at this game here. So. Alright. The Gluttonous Cyclops for 5 and a red. It's a 5-4. And for 5 red, Monstrosity 3. I don't think he's great.
That looks very vanilla.
Yeah.
Can you afford to play cards like this?
It dies to Eye Gouge. Goodbye.
Is that a thing?
It should be.
Eye Gouge is not a thing. No. 6 mana 5/4s are just bad. I mean, he's like a one of top of your curve in a really bad red deck.
Yeah. What about 2 Minotaur tokens with Flurry of Horns for 4 and a red? You get 2 of them. They are 2/3 red Minotaur creatures with haste.
Without haste, this card is horrible. With haste, meh. If you can go with the Minotaur theme, if you manage to get the Lords, then it's not bad. The fact that it only has 1 red.
5 mana for 2/2/3s is playable on its own. That said, I don't like it too much, but I do like it. Excuse me.
Well, is there anything in Journey to Nyx that would put you in the Minotaur deck immediately?
There's no Lord in Nyx, so...
So you would have to be very much in love with the Minotaur deck to...
Yeah, you'd have to be forcing it. Either, and if they did Nyx as the third pack, like if you did Theros-born Nyx, which I think is probably where they're going to go, But
so isn't this the first
still,
pick?
I don't know how they're going to draft it.
Isn't it the standard to isn't
work
it
backwards?
Always the last step? Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be Journeyborn Theros, which is why a lot of these archetypes that I'm talking about with the 4-mana enchantment for a land and for the knowledge and power, you just don't know.
You have to commit way too early.
Yeah, you're not committing to a strategy like that in Pack 1, unfortunately.
No.
If this block was drafted Theros first, these decks then might be things.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe you can convince your FNM to do so.
Yeah, we've been trying to convince my local game store owner the past 4 times I've been there. One was after a GPT, I think one was after a pre-release. It's been like a year or two. Let us do a triple Innistrad draft. And we keep getting node.
Well,
he has all right, next bosses up, left, too. That's what bothers me.
Next up, Flame Speaker's Will, the one red aura enchant creature you control. Enchant creature gets +1/+1, and if it deals combat damage to a player, you can sacrifice the enchantment and destroy target artifact at common. I didn't think it's perfectly reasonable.
1-mana heroic trigger with +1/+1 is okay on its own. What artifacts are you trying to destroy in the format?
Prowler's Helm.
So it's a 1-mana +1/+1 with upside.
It's a heroic, yeah, it's a heroic trigger +1/+1 with conditional upside that you don't have to sideboard into.
Is that playable on its own without the sideboard effect against artifacts?
Yeah, it's really playable.
Okay.
Next up, Blinding Flare, 1 red. Sorcery. Any number of target creatures can't block this turn with Strive for a red. Red Blowout. This is the blowout card for red.
Yeah, what was that card? I mean, I want to say this is bad, but I just can't say it is. I'm comparing it to Awe of the Guilds from Dragon's Maze.
Is there any use for targeting your own heroic creatures for 1 mana?
I thought that was just your opponents. So there's
any number of target creatures can't block. If you're going to go on the attack, who cares? Heroic your entire army and then walk in.
Yeah, if you have like 5 red, you have 2 heroic guys, you can't block my 2 heroic triggers.
Yeah.
That might be the game right there.
I said this is the red blowout card.
I'm not going to say this is a first pick, but this is probably between picks 3 and 7.
Right.
Easy. Next is a 3 and a red for a 3/2 boar with intimidate.
Sandikar says hi.
Very blasé. The artwork on it looks awesome, though. I would not want to stand in front of that thing.
This was in M13, right, as well?
Yeah, and it was insane in M13. I'm sure it's going to be insane in this format, too. Blade Tusk Boar has always been great. Never drafted Zendikar, but from what I've heard, it was great in Zendikar.
It was.
And then M13, right. I've had success with it.
And last of the red that we're going to preview on this cycle, a Crowan Linebreaker, 2 and a red, 2/1, heroic, +2/+0, and intimidate.
It's a bad history here. Breaking the line of the phalanx should be punished and not rewarded.
Yeah.
He's running away from his phalanx. What the hell?
Yeah. This seems fine, though. Like, that with Blinding Fire, your guy can't block, punch you in the face for 4. That's fine.
Yeah. All right. Now on to black. Tormented Thoughts. 2 and a black. Sorcery. As an additional cost, sacrifice creature. Target player discards a number of cards equal to the sacrifice creature's power.
That's absolutely terrible because you want to fire this off early game, but you're 2 for 2-ing yourself on a 2/2 and you paid 5 mana for a 2 for 2. And they could just discard 2 lands, who knows? If you can, like, pop this off on that 6/6 on turn 4 with some ramp, you just win the game. But I think this is completely unplayable.
This is just a best-case scenario card, right? So people will remember when they tormented thought somebody for a lot of cards, but generally it will just suck.
Yeah. Thought Reader...
Thought Render Lamia.
Thought Render Lamia. Okay. I don't know what a Lamia is.
I don't know, but it's an enchantment.
Apparently it is quite sick because it doesn't look like it's in good health.
No, it looks like it's a vampire thing. It's
who knows?
Lamia.
I don't know.
A Lamia is a beautiful queen of Libya who became a child-eating demon. Okay.
Oh, she doesn't look very beautiful here.
No. Looks like a child-eating demon. except not eating a child.
Okay, 6 mana for 5/3 that discards cards.
With Constellation, which seems okay. On its own, the body is not great, but it's a 1-for-1 when you cast it, assuming they're not sandbagging a land, which on turn 6 they probably are not. And if they are, you're ahead already if they're sandbagging lands on turn 6.
Do people still have cards in their hands by turn 6?
It really depends. I mean, like, if you're waiting to bestow something, on the play this is great, because a lot of bestows are costed at 6, so you're just gonna be able to throw this guy down, get rid of their bestow, and it could be a game changer. This is interesting. I have never looked at a format in the way that I'm looking at it today, so you're hearing me actually thinking for once.
Yeah, that explains, like, the smoke.
Yeah, that explains the internet issues we had earlier. That was my brain breaking through the internet.
All right. I got destroyed for the destroy target enchantment or land card. What about Spiteful Blow? 4 black-black, sorcery, destroy target creature, and land.
This is absolutely insane.
It was a card in Invasion block when it costed 4 red and a black, and it was fantastic.
Well,
so,
we're not even looking at the land part. The land part doesn't matter.
Removal in Theros.
You're paying 6 mana to destroy a creature. Sip of Hemlock is absolutely insane.
We like this card.
This card is absolutely insane. And even if they have 5 mana, they don't have their 6th land yet, you set them back so much by destroying that land. This card is absolutely nuts.
I don't underestimate all those games when you have, like, 2 of 1 color, and you need to, and you destroy one of those lands, and suddenly it takes 4 turns more to get.
I mean, at that point, if you're not flooded, well, I mean, if you're flooded, this does nothing, but you're flooded, so your opponent's happy anyway. If you're just right, it undercuts you, and if you're mana screwed, you just lose. So, Spiteful Blow is absolutely insane. I think it's better than Sip of Hemlock.
Looks great.
All right. Next up, Rotted Hulk. 3 and a black for vanilla 2/5. Elemental.
So there was actually a, what's that, Armored Cantrix or something that was 5 mana and he was playable. So I think this guy's fine.
Very defensive.
It's got a fat butt.
Yep.
Okay, Returned Reveler. 1 and a black for 1/3 when it dies. Each player puts the top 3 cards of his or her library into his or her graveyard.
So what this card is, essentially, is Bane Alley Blackguard. Completely unplayable under any circumstances.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
All right, next up is our Black Sedge Scorpion.
Yes, 1/1 Death Touch, 1 mana.
1 black, yep, 1/1 Death Touch. Perfectly fine. It will be treated exactly like Sedge Scorpion. Next up, Nyx Infusion, 2 and a black, enchanted creature gets +2/+2 as long as it's an enchantment, otherwise it gets -2/-2. I like it.
Flexible.
It's like the, what was it, Bonds of Faith.
Yes.
Similar to Bonds of Faith. I missed that card. I'm surprised something like that wasn't in this set. We're talking about gods, and something like that wasn't brought in.
And here it is.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, this Nightmarish End.
This is interesting.
Oh, sorry, Jason, do you want to talk about Nyx Infusion? Am I going too fast for you?
I don't know. It seems like it could be good, but it also just seems terrible. Anyway, okay. We can move down. I have no opinion on it for the moment.
Nightmarish End, 2 and a black. Target creature gets -X/-X until end of turn, where X is the number of cards in your hand.
It can kill gods. Take it.
Well, no, it can't, because at the point when you're killing a god, you're not going to have any cards in your hand. I think this is a removal spell for any of their early creatures.
Yep, that's what it looks like.
Okay, I'm just looking at the fact that it's -X/-X, which gets past indestructible.
You can kill a god if you spend some time doing it.
Yeah, if you deal some damage to it, like 3-4 damage to a god, and then throw this on top for that additional -2, you can get it. So, I like it.
It looks like the typical card that you will have in your hand at the wrong time. And it will just suck.
Yeah, I'm probably not playing this card.
Okay, Grim Guardian, 2 and a black for a 1/4, nice fat butt, on a common creature enchantment zombie. Constellation Extort.
No, you don't gain any life.
Yeah. Oh, you don't gain any life. Each opponent loses one life.
Still,
with the number of enchantments that are in this set, it's a nice fat body that has upside.
Yeah.
And I mean, 3 mana 1/4s aren't great, but...
How many defensive decks are there? Is it common to be really defensive?
Yeah, but then they just run over your head. I mean, I think he's okay. Not great.
It's good for a common.
Here's the Minotaur Lord for the set.
Not quite a lord, but close.
Yeah,
it is a Minotaur.
3 mana 2/3 with Death Touch. Other Minotaurs you control have Death Touch. That's the Fellhide Petrifier. And it looks like he just killed a Gorgon, but he didn't look at him.
Yeah, so there's good reason to go early into Minotaurs. Feast of Dreams, 1 and a black. Destroy target enchanted creature or enchantment creature.
Sounds like it will be relevant.
It's a very conditional Doomblade.
Yeah, that's absolutely insane because you want to kill the enchanted creatures, so.
And this is a common.
Yeah, this is nuts. Yeah,
this is a constructed playable card for certain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mono Black did not need that.
No.
All right.
Somebody will.
Okay, cruel feeding. There we go. Oh my god, it's tentacle. Wow, I'm surprised nobody's made jokes about that yet. Okay, 1 black. Instant. Any
Hey, yes. We have no way to cut things. We told you that before the show. Okay.
That's why I'm censoring myself. Specifically for that. This is supposed to be a family-friendly show.
And it isn't now.
So, 1 red, 1 with 2 and a black, any number of target creatures each get +1/+0 lifelink until end of turn. Yes, 1 black, with 2 and a black for Strive. And you too can be destroyed by tentacles. Who did the artwork on
this?
You had
to use the word destroyed.
Yes, yes I did. Jason E. Engel? Engel, that's...
Oh, seems like something Steve Argyle would do.
Hold on, Engel, I gotta read that. Is that E-N-G-L-E?
That is E-N-G-L-E.
That's German.
No
German
comment.
Tentacles, okay.
Oh, no move on to the next card.
What do we think of this card?
It's playable. Done. Move on.
It's playable. We can't talk about it because we want to have a reputation.
Path into Darkness. 1 and a black. Enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets -2/-0 and cannot block.
Okay. At least the artwork is nice.
Yes. It's reasonable.
Is it?
Yeah. Takes out an effective blocker, something that had like a fat butt or... A Sedge Scorpion or a new Black Sedge Scorpion.
Yeah.
And it's an aura. It's an enchantment. So it fits with all the Constellation stuff. Like Dreadbringer Lampads. 4 and a black. 4/2 Constellation. And when it enters the battlefield, target creature gains Intimidate until end of turn.
Sounds useful.
Yeah. That's fine.
Except for the 2 toughness. Fired. I'm not going to pay 5 mana for a 4/2.
But I think you will be paying 2 mana for Blood-Crazed Hoplite.
Oh, yes, the Black Hoplite.
1 and a black, 2/1, and it has basic heroics. So you get a +1/+1 counter whenever you target it. But whenever you get a +1/+1 counter, you can also remove a +1/+1 counter from target creature on opponent controls.
At that common. That sounds really good, considering, especially if you listen to Marshall and Limited Resources, never discount the value of a single +1/+1 counter. That can be, it can be pretty damn powerful.
Yeah, it's a 2 mana 2/1 to start with, which is fine in this format, and then that's insane because you get to remove their +1/+1 counters.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Black-white heroic on its way. Aspect of Gorgon, 2 and a black. Enchanted creature gets +1/+3 and has death touch. That seems reasonably costed.
So how dangerous are like normal auras in this format? Do you get blown out or...
Not really. The removal is absolutely terrible.
Well, then it seems good.
Ooh, Agent, I don't know how valuable this is going to be, but Agent of Erebos, 3 and a black for a 2/2 Constellation, exile target players, all cards from target players' graveyard. We haven't seen any real big recursion thing, have we?
I don't think so.
Unless this is lead up for the next set. That's pretty garbage, actually.
Seems pretty nice to get a creature in constructed out of this, but 4 mana for a 2/2 is a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're on to blue. Jason's favorite, but yet bad color.
Yes, we are. I'm happy about that.
So now he's actually going to start talking more.
No, I was in the middle of speculation that I
sure.
was doing. So.
Yep. We believe you.
I actually don't like black.
Start talking.
So. Warwing Siren. 2 and a blue, 1/3 flying with heroic. I think it's better than Windrake.
Yeah, absolutely. Isn't this a whole deck? Blue-white heroic?
Yep.
It looks exactly what you want in that deck.
Next
just
up.
A guy who never played the limited format.
Triton Short
Yeah,
Stalker.
Blue-white heroic, that thing's nuts. 1 mana, 1/1 unblockable?
No, can't, I'm sorry, yeah, it is unblockable. I read that wrong.
Yeah, and it can still block. So that's an improvement over similar cards.
Yeah, I think it's not great, but it's fine.
Yeah. Triton Cavalry, 3 and a blue for 2/4 heroic. Return target enchantment to its owner's hand. So we have a heroic boomerang and a 2/4 body.
No, you return target enchantment, so it's not that
yeah.
great.
Yeah, enchantment boomerang.
Sounds like a good way to
Which
grind
isn't as good as boomerang, so.
No, but how many enchantments are in this set? You can bounce a god with it.
If you have a cheap enchantment, you can just bounce it several times and trigger constellation.
That's an interesting
yeah.
thought.
And wasn't there a drake or something that at the beginning of your turn return an enchantment to your hand? Or you have to return an enchantment to your hand so you can just keep bouncing whatever it is that they have by heroicing this?
Yep.
You can set someone back a couple turns by keeping that up.
I don't know. I think it's fine. Next we have Thassa's Ire. For a single blue, it's an enchantment. For 3 and a blue, you may tap or untap target creature. You don't usually get up to 8 mana in the format, but if you do, that's absolutely insane.
Looks like an inspiration enabler, a flood-like effect. Seems very versatile.
It's a turn one drop, and later application. That's pretty damn powerful.
Tapping their Voltron forever with 4 mana?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then they would Voltron out to a couple of different creatures, which is fine because you would be able to deal with one of them with one of your guys. So I guess it makes sense. Yeah, that's fine.
Yep. You can also use it to untap your own creature. Remember, yep. Inspired, as bad as it was, is a thing in this format.
Yep.
Thassa's Devourer, 4 and a blue, 2/6 constellation, mill 2.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a thing. Think it's a bit overcosted, though.
Does it have any support, or are you going to mill the opponent with just this card?
You could do, well, with the number of enchantments that are in the block, you could, over time, do a fair amount of damage. Not to mention, again, we haven't seen much in the way of recursion from the graveyard to hand or to the battlefield yet.
Remember that this effect is pointless unless you win.
Yeah, but if you can get their bomb out of the deck and into the graveyard.
But that's the way you shouldn't think about it, right? You can also enable their bomb by milling the cards that were before the bomb in the deck.
True.
You really can't think of it either way.
You know, it's a fat butt, and it has upside.
Yes, but the upside is extremely conditional, because you have to mill the entire deck for it to matter.
Yeah, it's right. not that great.
So the question is a 2/6 body for 5 anything? I hated armor cantrics in M14.
Yeah, it's a...
It has one more toughness.
It's a 2/6 body for 5 with very slight upside. I don't think it's great.
All
Someone
right.
will prove me wrong, though.
Next up, Rise of Eagles. 4 blue-blue, sorcery, put 2/2 bird enchantment creature tokens with flying onto the battlefield and scry 1.
Ice in disguise. This is what it costs if you want 2/2 birds.
I don't think it's very good.
I think
6
it's good.
Mana for 2/2 birds is... If it was an instant, it would be absolutely insane.
Okay. It's you're getting your pure value out of it. Because a 2/2 bird with or a 2/2 creature with flying is 3 mana. So you're getting that straight up for 6. Is the exact same cost that you would get normally. On top of that, you get Scry 1, and these are enchantment creature tokens, which means they trigger Constellation.
Yeah. It's comparable to Talaran's Invocation, then at 2 more mana for Scry 1 and the enchantment boost. That sounds like a very steep cost. But Talaran's Invocation was a really good card in its day.
In the format, in limited, I think it's worth it. It's value, like it has value to it. It's more aggressively costed than your average common, Jason's going to tell me I'm wrong. It does look expensive.
It's way too expensive, unless it was an instant. Even if it was an instant, it wouldn't be great, because there aren't too many good counter spells in the format.
How many six drops can you afford to play in?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're in a blue deck, there are so many other good six drops in the format. I mean...
And can you play more than 2 6 drops?
Not really. You have Arbiter of the Ideal, Archetype of Imagination. I would even rather have a Siren of the Fanged Coast than this guy, to be completely honest with you. And then in Theros, you have Prognostic Sphinx is a 5, Shipbreaker Kraken is a 6. Sea God's Revenge is an uncommon. I would even rather have a Horizon Scholar, to be completely honest with you, because the Scry 1 is more beneficial in my mind than the Split of the Power. I would rather have Nimbus Naiad than this, so to me it's complete garbage.
Yeah. Pull from the Deep, 2 and 2 blue. Return up to 1 target instant card and up to 1 target sorcery card from graveyard to your hand. Exile pulled from the Deep. This screams constructed, right?
This screams unplayable in any format.
It's a sorcery.
This is relevant.
There's that thing from Innistrad that wasn't playable in constructed, though. And it
wasn't
playable in limited. Maybe it was from Dark Ascension. Oh,
for 4 mana?
I think it was less, actually. Yeah, I think it was an uncommon as well. Non-foil. Mystic Retrieval, return target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand for 4 with flashback of 2 and a red, and that never saw play.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just having dreams of getting my Ancestral Recall and my Force of Will.
Then why Mystic Retrieval seems better.
Okay, let's ditch this crap.
Pin to the Earth. 1 and a blue, enchant creature, gets -6/-0.
That's a lot of minus.
It is a pretty big minus.
Yeah, it's like Chant of the Skursfag or whatever for Innistrad.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. It was -13/-0.
Yep, for 3
That
mana.
Thing, that was brutal. I used that in draft and just absolutely destroyed his creature.
Well, that was actually removal in a sense. This is not.
Yeah. All right.
I mean,
the
it
next
deals
card...
with Voltron for a bit. I think it's okay, not great.
The next card did not need to be printed, and if it was, since it was printed, it needs to be at a much higher rarity.
Return target creature and all auras attached to it to their owner's hand for 1 and a blue.
1 and a blue.
At
one
common,
and a blue.
This is one of your first 3 picks.
1 and a blue.
1 and a blue.
This is Boomerang again.
But remember,
better.
Remember, if this wasn't Theros, this card would be worse than Unsummon.
Yeah, it is really a Theros card.
Like, if there was Unsummon in this set, and it wasn't Bestow, like, Voyage's End is insane to begin with. If there was no Bestow in the set and Voyage's End was a thing, wow. That would be nuts.
That's a lot of mana invested that is lost.
Yeah.
Looks great.
Yeah. I'm keeping Dan up.
Oh,
yeah,
no, that was me. I had to mute
Jason.
To y'all.
Oh, it was Jason. Are we boring you?
5 o'clock, and I am
Maybe
tired.
He was looking at Hour of Need.
Hour
yeah,
of Need.
I was actually reading the card. Hour of Need for 2 and a blue is an instant, and it has Strive for 1 and a blue. Exile any number of target creatures. Its controller puts a 4/4 blue Sphinx with flying onto the battlefield.
So that's a couple of wasted heroic triggers if you're exiling the guys.
How about you 2-for-1 yourself on turn 3 for a 4/4? Use
turn
your 2 3, drop.
4/4 flyer.
Yeah, I think this is fine.
That's an instant. Yeah, that's ew. At the end of turn 3, I'm going to give myself a 4/4 flyer.
It reminds me of Devout Invocation, but, having 4/4 flyers in multiples are pretty good.
Devout Invocation.
From M14.
Oh, that's
here's something.
A Talran's Invocation thing, or?
No, Devout Invocation is tap, any number of target creatures. You get a 4/4 angel for...
Oh, yeah. But this is better.
Yeah, it's definitely faster.
Yeah.
All right.
Is Devout Invocation playable in your mind?
Yes, I think it's a bomb, actually.
I think it's a bomb as well, but is white playable?
Yes, I think white is extremely underdrafted.
Really?
In this 19-match win streak in M14, I had blue-white decks most of the time.
Well,
white is so
that's because blue makes up for it, so you're blue and then white splashing for something, like Sarah Angel or Banisher Priest?
Mostly removal. And stuff like Devout Invocation. So you get the pacifists and the flares. And then you get the ground guys to stop the green decks, so you can win with your flyers. There's also some decent flyers in white. Sarah Angel, of course, but the Griffin and stuff. But now we're talking M14 again. Back to Theros.
Oh, I was on mute. You've successfully made me want to stream M14 all day tomorrow, so.
Great.
I might.
So, would you ever play a 4-mana counter spell?
I played Bones to Ashes, was that what it was called? In Dark Ascension Limited?
I didn't play that format.
Not often, but I did play it.
I liked Rewind.
Rewind is different.
I hate Rewind.
Rewind into another Counterspell or Rewind into Restoration Angel.
Oh, well, that is pretty good.
Yeah, that's what people were doing in Constructed. I think it's called Bones to Ashes. I'm just pulling it up and Moto froze because I may own 9,000 cards, but I don't own a lot more. So when I set that equal to zero.
Are you on the new client again?
No, I went back to the old client. Okay. I got sick of it after I actually just switched over about 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Bone to Ashes, the card, and that's 4-mana counter creature draw card.
Sounds better than this.
Yeah, it does. Unless there's a mill theme, which it doesn't seem like there is, considering there are 2 blue cards left.
Yeah.
And there was none in Theros or Born. Maybe in triple Journey it could be a thing, but not really. Cloaked Siren, 3 and a blue, 3/2, flash flying. Isn't there a card with this name, with this exact stats already?
It's a 2/3.
Oh, Sea Kite, right. Yes. Which is one of my favorite cards ever.
And you're not going to flash this guy in and block right. as often as you're flashing Sea Kite. So
it's more of a... There's a good synergy I like in this format where you're able to, on turn 4 or 5 in a blue-green deck, hold up counter magic and be able to flash in a creature end of turn if they do nothing.
Nice.
Because you have this guy, you have the Cockatrice, you have some other flash guys in the earlier formats. So I think a flash deck could be a thing.
A 3/2 flyer for 4 is always playable, isn't it? In its own.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, what's the thing from Born of the Gods? I'm bad with card names, but I know what they do. Chorus of the Tides is insane in Born of the Gods. And that just has Heroic Scry 1, and it's a 4-mana 3/2 flying.
Yeah, 3/2 flyers for 4-mana in any format sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And add-on flash, and yeah, I don't like blue.
What do you like about Aerial Formation, then?
For a single blue, it's an instant. Any number of target creatures, you get +1/+1 and flying, and it has Strive for 2 and a blue. Blue-white heroic finisher, just like we had the red-white heroic finisher earlier. And I'm sure we'll have a white-white heroic finisher in a moment.
Straight up over the top.
Oh, my God.
Right. You guys keep talking. I've got to go for a sec.
Yep.
We are moving on to white, then.
Yep.
Supply Line Cranes. 3 white-white for 2/4 flyer. And when it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature.
Which seems fine, right?
3/5 flyers for 5, yeah. That works. And this is flexible, so... Siege Mastodon in the air is the worst case here.
Which is fine.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Stonewise Fortifier for 1 and a white. It's a 2/2, so it's a bear at worst. For 4 and a white, prevent all damage that would be dealt to it by target creature this turn. So it's a bear with upside.
Yeah, it seems like the slowest way ever to stop a Voltron.
Which is fine in this format, as long as they don't have Trample, which, unless they're in green, they don't have Trample.
Trample is hard to come by, isn't it?
Right, just green and red.
Yep.
Sky Spear Cavalry for 3 white-white, 2/2 flying double strike, uncommon, this guy's insane.
Yeah, that looks pretty good.
It's Wingsteed Rider, but a lot better.
Yes, and 1 enchantment on this guy, it hits you for a lot.
Yeah, alright.
There's a lot of text on the next card.
Skybind. When I see this much text, I'm pretty sure it's going to be unplayable or insane, but I haven't read it yet. 3 white-white for an enchantment. Whenever it or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, exile target non-enchantment permanent. Return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. Unplayable and limited. Interesting in Commander.
Garbage.
What about a Commander deck, though, with ETB effects?
With ETB effects?
This
you know
with
what I'd
Thragnusk.
You know what I'd rather
this
play?
This with Resto.
Conjurer's Closet.
Fair enough. Next we have Reprisal. For one and a white, destroy target creature with power 4 or greater. It can't be regenerated. Instant, stop your Voltron. I like it.
This is a reprint that is having its day now. It's like, it's never seen a better block to be printed in, right?
Was it good in its prior block?
No, it was a sideboard card. Of course, in Limited you'll play it, but it was a sideboard card in Constructed.
Prior format?
It has been printed several times, I think.
Oh. Because I've done a lot of the flashbacks.
It's common. You sometimes see it in Pauper, actually.
7th edition, 6th edition, Alliances.
Did I draft Alliances? I don't know what the symbol is. Let me look. No, I didn't draft Alliances. Never mind.
So this has never been seen in Modern. Huh.
What creatures? Tarmogoyf.
Nice.
White just got a Doomblade.
Maybe there's a chance that the green-white hate bears or the Death and Taxes decks get a little bit more powerful with this.
But what else can you target? Scavenging Ooze's, Tarmogoyfs.
And then affinity creatures that they make really big with Ravager.
Interesting.
Which is usually Affinity's path to victory. If you're able to destroy the Ravager, they sack a bunch of guys to it, then throw it on a guy.
Looks like a great, interesting reprint.
Yeah.
I might want to try the Death and Taxes deck in Modern now.
Alright, so I have to admit, I missed the first few of the spoilers for White, but oh my god, I'm loving what they're printing here.
Yes, I would agree.
Next up, Quarry Colossus. 5 white-white. 5/6, enters the battlefield, put target creature into its owner's library just beneath the top X cards of that library, where X is the number of planes you control. We have a Tucker.
We have a 5-mana 5/6 with the added effect of...
7-mana 5/6.
What's it called?
It's like the white primordial from Gatecrash.
No, I'm thinking of the commander card that's really good in Legacy right now. Commander 2014 card.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but that doesn't cost 7.
No, that costs X, but I'm saying it comes with a body, and I like it.
It can tuck. I like that. That's definitely useful.
Yeah, but it's a 7-mana creature. Mana? I think you have to be in a green-white ramp deck of sorts. Hello?
I'm still here. Don't worry.
Consider the white primordial from Gatecrash, which was unplayable in Gatecrash and then suddenly was quite playable in...
Well, all the primordials were insane.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly Absent is the card I was thinking of.
Yes, that's the one.
Fanlax Formation, this is the white finisher, but it's an uncommon this time. For 2 and a white, with Strive for 1 and a white, any number of target creatures each gain double strike, and it's an instant.
Instant double strike.
Instant double strike during combat with a heroic guy. Let's say you're in green-white heroic, Staunch-Hearted Warrior suddenly punches you in the face for 8.
Nice.
Yep.
Centaur Battlemaster punches you in the face for 12. I don't know. I think this card is good. Oresko Swiftclaw, 1 and a white for a 3-1. We've seen a ton of these. They're fine. I mean, we even have Spirit of the Labyrinth in this block. It's fine. It's not great.
Now, what do you think about the Laguna Band Trailblazer? 1 white for an 0-4 with heroic +1/+1.
No, you just want any other heroic 1 drop than a 0-4. Now, I know a 3-mana 1-4 was playable in Dragon's Maze Draft. I forget what he's called.
1-mana 0-4 was playable in M13.
Has Desnare Squall.
Very, very defensive.
But that's because it taps a creature? I just don't think this guy is good. It's counterintuitive. I mean, if this guy was like... Well,
he's very defensive.
A 4-0 doesn't do anything. But in white heroic decks, you want to be aggressive, not defensive.
Yeah, which makes him really weird.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of people thought that about Has Desnare Squall as well, and come to find out that he's actually insane. But, another format, another story.
Yes.
All right, next up.
Grace, don't take this.
Leonin Iconoclast. 3 and a white, 3/2, heroic. Whenever you cast a spell that targets it, destroy target enchantment creature an opponent controls.
That looks pretty good.
Yeah, I like destroy target enchantment creature.
So 4-mana, 3/2 with heroic Doomblade.
Yep, conditional Doomblade, but still Doomblade. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Next.
Mortal. Can't read it from here.
This is all yours.
Obstinacy.
All yours.
Does anybody know what obstinacy means?
He's obstinate. He's irritating. You hate him.
Okay. Makes sense. For a single white enchanted creature you control gets +1/+1. And whenever it hits a player, you can sack it to destroy an enchantment.
Seems very reasonable in this
quality being
cycle.
Obstinate. this is the best one of the cycle. I think it's good. We saw the red one earlier.
Because
it triggers heroic, it gives him +1/+1 for a while, then it destroys an enchantment if you need to.
Yep.
Next we have Oppressive Raise.
I love this card.
For a single white enchanted creature can't attack or block unless its controller pays 3. Activated abilities of the creature cost 3 more to activate. In just about any other format, this is absolutely insane, but in a Voltron format, when you're getting to turn 6 or 7, you can pay that mana with no issues. So it's a good card when you're ahead, but if you're behind, it does nothing.
I think this is the natural progression of pacifist. What would pacifist be like if it just cost 1 mana? And I think
pacifism meets mana leak.
Yeah. I think this will see a constructed play in at least Standard Pauper, but maybe some other format too.
And I still like it. It's one white. It's white and it's common. It's pretty damn powerful. Next, a Crowan Mastiff. That's a big ugly dog.
Why are you paying 4 mana for a 2/2 tapper?
They have avoided tappers in this format, haven't they?
Well, tappers are absolutely insane. Like, Afara's Warden is okay, and that's a 4 mana tapper that doesn't tap much. Here you're paying 4 mana for a 2/2 with white tap target creature.
Tap the Voltron, enable Inspired.
It enables Inspired, it taps down their bomb, but it's a 4 mana 2/2. It's good when you're behind, but it's not good when you're ahead.
I'm reminded of, not Nev's Disc, not Isochron's Scepter. What am I thinking of? Why can't I remember it? It used to be a classic tap down card.
I see Manipulator.
Thank you.
I know old cards, apparently.
But this is, I heard Mark Rosewater to talk about tappers in Theros and how he really was like, we couldn't put any tappers in Theros because they would be insane.
Right.
And here it is. So we had to pay a lot for it, but...
Next we have Armament of Nyx. For 2 and a white, enchanted creature has double strike as long as it's an enchantment. Otherwise, prevent all damage that would be dealt by it. So it is kind of like...
It's like Bonds of Faith, but with double strike instead.
Well, I was thinking of another Innistrad card, actually, like Ghostly Possession.
Okay.
Except it's kind of worse. It's different.
But it is extremely flexible, and it doesn't ask anything of you, so it will either be, it will be good in whatever situation you are in.
Right.
There's enough enchantment creatures that, double strike, and it's double strike.
Yep.
And it's common, so. Next one is not too exciting. 2 and a white for a 2/1 flying vigilance.
Well, 2 power flyer for 3.
I mean, it's fine. I'm not complaining about a Windrake with vigilance, right?
Yeah, this is like a grade C limited card, isn't it? You want, this is like an average creature to put in the deck.
Right. It's a 15th to 20th playable. It's not a 23rd playable by any stretch.
Yeah.
Next we have Harvest Guard Alcyeds for 2 and a white. Constellation 2/3. When it or another enchantment enters battlefield under your control, prevent all damage that would be dealt to target creature this turn.
What?
He's fine.
It's not bad.
But
I have to say...
You want that effect to be instant? But you have to, an enchantment has to enter the battlefield under your control.
Does it matter if it's instant or not? Because you put that down, you attack in with your, we'll say for the sake of argument, a 5/5. They can't block and trade it, so they either chump block or they take damage, so you're getting a 1/1, or you're lava axing them and getting a 2/3.
Yeah, and it's rotatable, so.
This guy's actually really good. White seems insane in, both Journey into Nyx and Born of the Gods. And Theros, excuse me. So.
Journey into Nyx really ramped out the power curve for white to actually give it something.
Right.
That it might
and then
be able
you
to
have
stand.
A new Oblivion Ring too, which is nice.
Yeah, loved, when I saw that, I was so happy.
You have to deal with Detention Sphere in Standard, so you
That's Banishing Light, which was shown to us on April 17th. It functions almost the exact same way as Oblivion Ring.
Yeah, it's O-Ring, except you can't disperse it in response.
It's the fixed O-Ring.
Yeah, it's the fixed O-Ring. We also had Deicide, which is 1 and a white, instant exile target enchantment. If it's a god, search for all copies and exile them.
Mono Blue Devotion is absolutely terrible now, because Thassa is their only path to victory except for Master of Waves, which Master can be dealt with by every deck except for the Red Burn decks. So this deck now loses to every deck with white in it.
But still, it's Thassa is your only target in Mono Blue Devotion.
Correct, but Thassa is what wins you the game against Blue-White Control, if you can even win that game, which you usually can't, but... It just shores up the blue-white control matchup. The black-white devotion matchup is usually a favorable one. Now it isn't, because you can just never beat that card.
Alright, to finish out the white for April 17th, Tefmos High Priest. 2 and a white, 2/3. Heroic, return target creature card with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
That's... fine, not great. It seems good in a heroic deck in the late game, but then again, what's a 1-1 or a 2-2 doing for you in the late game?
Aren't you getting back bestow creatures?
To the battlefield?
Cheap
to the battlefield.
Yeah.
Alright.
Seems bad. Next we have Dictate of Erebos for 3 and 2 black. Enchantment with flash. Whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent sacks a creature.
Grave Pact is bad.
I like it.
This card is going to be insane. Get your playset while it's cheap.
What's interesting about it is it's another card that shores up the matchup for mono black over mono blue. Because this makes it... I mean, you can already kill their Master of Waves. You can do a lot of damage as it is. But this allows you to completely demolish their board unless they're making everything unblockable with Thassa. And even at that point, you can just attack into stuff and trade off your creatures for a creature and make them sacrifice. If they sacrifice...
5 is a lot of mana.
5 is a lot of mana, but you get to Grey Merchant every single game against Mono Blue. Mono Blue is a turn 5 deck. Turn 4 at best.
So what are you cutting for it?
It's a sideboard card. There's a lot of different sideboards for Mono Black currently. I think this is a Mono Black card for Star City Opens, not necessarily online. Online, you should probably be playing Staffs because of the Red-White Burn decks, but this doesn't seem so great online because everyone's playing Red-White Burn, and that's not a very good matchup for you. Nyx Weaver for 1 black and a green, 2/3 with reach at the beginning of your upkeep. Mill the top 2 cards of your library, and for 1 black, green, and exile, return target card from your graveyard to your hand. I don't think it's too good. I don't think it's bad, though.
If it was to the battlefield, it would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like a worse tutor effect. A 2/3 with reach doesn't do too much for you. I guess it slows him down for a bit, but it's a worse tutor in my mind.
The next card is interesting. Renowned Weaver. Another Weaver. 1 green for a 1/1, 1 and a green. Sack it. Put a 1/3 green spider enchantment creature token onto the battlefield with reach.
Do you want a 1/3 green spider on turn 2, or do you want a bear on turn 2?
Probably want a bear.
Exactly.
But if you've got the open mana, this could combat trick into stopping or at least hindering something later on.
Onboard combat tricks are really useless.
It looks like a worse Centaur's Healer, doesn't it?
Yeah, Centaur.
A Centaur's Herald.
Centaur's Herald, yeah. Healer is the one that gains life. Next we have Brain Maggot for 1 and a black. It's a 1/1. When it ETBs, target opponent reveals his or her hand and you choose a non-land card from it. Exile that card until Brain Maggot leaves the battlefield. So this is your worst Tide Hollow Sculler of the set.
It's the fixed Mesmeric Fiend, right?
Yes. Fixed Mesmeric Fiend, worst Tide Hollow Sculler. It's okay.
Yeah.
Not great. We'll skip over the conspiracy for now.
Yeah, because we can't read the card.
Well, we'll talk about that at the end and speculate on it a bit. Strength from the Fallen for 1 and a green with Constellation. It's an enchantment. When it or another enchantment enters the battlefield, target creature gets +X/+X, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard. It's good in the green-black deck that runs Commune from the Gods, which isn't really a deck as it is, so...
Well, it does synergize with that Nyx Weaver.
I still don't think it's great. That's two uncommons from your first pack, so it's really unlikely that it's going to do anything, right?
Is it an enabler for the Golgari deck in standard that everybody wants to work?
Well, it's not really an enabler, because I think you want to power out a Jarrod more than you want this, or Night Howler, or something like that. I mean, it's a budget way to play, I guess.
Something
like, yeah. Harnessed by Force for one red-red. Two in a red Strive, it's rare. Active Treason, any number of creatures.
Active Treason with Kicker.
Nice.
I like
that
it.
That sounds good.
I'm disappointed that it's at rare. I would have thought maybe uncommon.
I think it is at rare for a reason.
Yeah, Active Treason is a fine Magic card to begin with, but if you can Active Treason twice on turn 6, that's just insane. Because you deal with two of their blockers and get two more attackers.
Yeah, you get their Voltron on your side.
If you've ever cast Active Treason in a normal format twice in one turn, think about it with two Voltron creatures in this format. Yeah.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Alright, next we have Golden Hind. For one and a green, 2/1 elk, tap to add green. It's a ramp creature. I mean, it's fine.
It's a ramp creature that will actually do something.
Right. I would rather have Elvish Mystic if I had a choice.
Yeah, because that ramps a lot faster than this
right.
does.
But it's Elmer.
It's Elmer, and he's not being killed. Interesting.
Yep, it's a very, very pretty Elmer.
Hippie Elmer with flowers and stuff.
Yep.
Hippie Elmer. I think we've coined that. Did Limited Resources say that yet? I haven't listened to
it
for a while.
No.
All right. Next disciple.
You heard it here first. Golden Hind is Hippie Elmer, and I am tweeting that right now.
Okay, you do that. Disciple of Deceit. 1/1, 1/1. 1/3 Inspired. So we actually have something with Inspired from this set. Whenever it becomes untapped, you may discard an online card. If you do, search your library for a card with the same converted mana cost as that card, reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is a lot of work, but it seems really, really powerful. Like, I mean, being able to tutor up, it's what, transmute in a creature.
Yes, a repeatable.
A repeatable transmute in a creature. That's except it's non-land. Which
smells like a constructed card.
Possibly. Very possible.
But can you really use it in limited?
I don't know.
You have to have a card with the same casting cost as the one you want.
I think it's possible. It gets possible in limited. I don't know, unless you know exactly what's in your deck. I don't know. Sealed? Maybe this could be a lot better, because you can see everything that you're putting into the deck before you draft it, or before, as opposed to drafting.
Yeah.
So you could play around it.
I mean, well, we should have been looking at sealed this whole time, but a lot of the cards, like Knowledge and Power, and that other one that was a Build Around Me card, in sealed they're fine, but in draft they're just terrible. And remember, you're only getting two packs, so it's tough.
How much lower is sealed than draft in Taros?
It's actually a faster format.
It is?
Yeah, because the people that have the heroic decks are usually really good ones.
Alright.
Desperate Stand for a red and a white. It's an uncommon, and it costs a red and a white more for each target beyond the first. Any number of creatures get +2/+0, first strike, and vigilance. Unfortunately, it's a sorcery, but it's still absolutely insane.
Well, in order to have vigilance, it had to be a sorcery.
Yeah, but it would be fine as an instant.
If it wasn't, then it wouldn't be. Then vigilance would be pointless. If it was an instant combat trick,
right? But you could still use it as a combat trick or just a card to play main phase. That said, the art is absolutely insane on this card. For those of you
who don't have
the art, a bigger version of the art in front of you, there's a link in the show notes. That's just amazing.
All right. Now the next set. This is an entire cycle, which I think everyone got ripped off except for blue.
Everyone
got ripped off except for blue, which pisses me off.
But that's a really slow card draw.
Okay, Font of Vigor.
Font of Vigor, I mean, 1 and a white for an enchantment, 2 and a white sack it to gain 7 life. Garbage.
Two and a white.
Font of Return. Yep. Font of actually.
Font of Return.
These are all existing cards that cost one more. That's Angel's Mercy. Font of Return for one and a black. Yeah, it's an enchantment, three and a black. Sack it, return up to three creature cards from your graveyard to your hand. That's a card from Theros, March of the Return, but it costs one more. Font of Ire for one and a red, three and a red, sack it to deal five to a player. That's a lava axe. Font of Fertility for a green, one and a green, sack it, get a basic land, put it onto battlefield, tapped and shuffle. Rampant
Garbage.
Growth. That's actually not too bad, to be completely honest.
Yeah, that doesn't look very bad.
Font of Fortunes is Divination, one and a blue, sack it, draw two cards. I like that one. Divination is fine.
It's the best, Divination for four?
Yeah, that's
if
fine.
You
so
wanted to, if you
wanted to,
if,
well,
if you,
you
want to trigger it
font
then.
On turn two, then you
just
leave up
sit
three,
there.
Then you leave up Dissolve on turn three. Right? Then you font at the end of turn if you don't have to dissolve anything. Or you just wait until the late game when you're out of cards and you play it early and you use it as a two-mana divination at some point. You just do it when you're out of gas.
Yeah, ranking these, Fortunes is the best. I'd probably put Ire as the... Ire or Fertility is the next, and the black and whites are fumbling.
Fertility is better than Ire. I don't think Lava Axe is a good card in general.
Lava Axe.
Have a bunch of them.
Lava Axe is a great finisher. I'm sorry, Lava Axe at instant speed is a great finisher.
But when they see it on board, they're... I mean, Lava Axe in M14 was fine because you surprised people with it. It's a 23rd playable, so you surprise people with it. But when you have your Lava Axe on board, unless they're at 5, they're not going to play around it. That said, all of these cards are cheap Constellation triggers. I don't know if Constellation will be a deck. There's a possibility that it might be.
I'm disappointed in Constellation. I
think
was expecting
insane.
More.
I think some of them could see play in the Enchantress deck in Legacy. I don't think either of you know that deck.
The old Agothan Enchantress deck?
Yeah, there's a deck based around it in Legacy. Next we have God, it's essentially Hate Bears, except it's enchantments.
God Hunter Octopus. That's an awesome name.
Yes.
Yes it is.
And it's an octopus, which means that it survives a whelming wave.
Yeah, but it isn't very good, is it?
5/5?
This is what
but
blue
can't
has
attack
to do
unless
to get
can...
a 5/5 for 6 mana.
can't attack unless defending player controls an enchantment or an enchanted permanent. That's almost all but guaranteed in this set.
Yes.
Yep. That said, 6 mana 5/5 isn't great, especially with that downside.
Yeah. Dictate of Heliod. It's powerful, but I have to say I'm a little disappointed compared to the other dictates.
Isn't this very good? Giving all your creatures +2/+2 in limited is generally very good, but and this flashes in as well.
At 5 mana?
Yeah.
At
remember
5
the
mana.
The thing from Return to Ravnica calling Gabe +3/+3?
Yeah.
That was extremely strong.
And this is 5 mana with flash, so it's a combat. This is insane.
I think this is really great.
Now, how
that
about...
in other formats as well.
How about the design that Mark Rosewater was talking about earlier in the block as Hercules, Bearer of Heavens? For 7 and a red, it's a 10/10. When it dies, destroy all permanents at the beginning of the next end step.
This will see so much casual play that...
I know, this is going to be awesome in Commander. I'm probably going to hate it, but...
All I can say is Elvish Piper and Undying Evil.
Oh my god. No, it's at the end of turn, though.
So what's that card?
Yeah.
So you
got your Elvish Piper down, you pay your 1 green, bring that in, Undying Evil it.
No, when it dies, it would undie, and then at the end of turn, all permanents would be destroyed, including it.
But so if it does Undying Evil on it at the end of turn, it will return right after it dies.
It'll come back as an 11/11.
But this creature has to die to destroy all permanents. It's not when it enters the battlefield. So you would need Undying Evil and
that's
a way
true.
To remove the plus
and
plus
a way to remove
counter.
It.
So it's
what was that
really
tier score, the Journey to the Underworld?
Yeah, that's...
That works?
Oh, red
what?
Black
what?
Combo dot deck? Rescue from the Underworld.
Rescue from the Underworld.
This next card I know you're going to like. What's the card that David likes for Boggles? That's the same thing.
Aegis of the Gods.
Yeah,
this is True Believer. Reprinted.
True Believer. Yes.
Ex-
and it costs less.
Nope, it costs, it's the exact same.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always imagine, the extra colored mana symbols is about a third of a mana extra.
Yeah, no, it's the same CMC, but it's only a single white. But because of that, it's now a 2-1 instead of a 2-2.
And you have Hexproof instead of Shroud. So yeah. You can now cast Angel's Mercy on yourself.
How good is this against Storm?
They'll have to remove it first.
Leyline
is better.
Leyline is better. This can get bolted. Leyline can be Echoing Truth. This just has more answers than Leyline.
But I have to say, in standard, this will be decent for at least forcing your opponent to deal with it against the burn deck. They'll have to deal with it. And also, any mid to late game Thoughtseize.
It's interesting. Usually the Thoughtseize is turn one or two, though, but I see where you're going. Next we have Daring Thief for 2 and a blue, inspired 2/3. When it becomes untapped, exchange control of target non-land permanent you control and target permanent an opponent controls that shares a card type with it. Daring Thief and Commander, exchange my Tybalt for your Jace. Exchange my Tybalt for your anything.
This is repeatable switcheroo in Limited.
And switcheroo was great in M13.
Yeah, so this looks really good, doesn't it?
It looks great for Limited. It looks
trigger inspired.
Yeah, it looks even better for casual.
Yeah. Next, Battlefield Thaumaturge, 1 and a blue for a 2/1. Each instant or sorcery spell you cast costs 1 less to cast for each creature it targets.
So this is your enabler.
Yep.
For Strive.
With heroic, whenever you cast a spell that targets it, he gains hexproof until end of turn.
That seems like a kind of redundant ability because you're usually casting a giant growth on him to save him from a lightning bolt. So, needless to say, it's a 2-mana 2/1 playable on its own with massive upside.
It makes Thrive cards a lot better.
It makes anything that targets a creature much better.
Yep.
I mean, Hopeful Eidolon is a 3-drop unless it's instant or sorcery.
Instant or sorceries. So if you pull this and a Hero of Iroha, you're going to be casting a lot for cheap.
Yeah, but then your hand empties and then you have to play the 4-mana Divination.
Yeah. But I like this next card.
Eidolon of Rhetoric for 2 and a white, 1/4 uncommon, enchantment creature spirit. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn.
It's Rule of Law in a creature.
Yep, and Rule of Law was never playable in Limited, correct?
There seems to be a lot of Storm hate being reprinted here in new versions.
So are you saying they're going to put Storm in Huey?
No, I'm saying that's...
No.
Or just hating on Storm generally.
Yeah, but this is completely unplayable in Modern or Legacy, so...
It is not unplayable in Modern. Not that, yeah, no, not unplayable in Modern. I like
three
it.
3 mana is a lot in Modern, but having a creature
would
that...
Would you rather have a Rule of Law than a creature?
As with Aegis of the Gods, Rule of Law is not the clock. Here you get the clock as well. Even though it's a 1/4, it's a crappy clock, but...
It's a clock that also...
Well, this dies to... Well, I'm talking for Modern here. This is a clock that dies to creature hate, damage, and enchantment hate, whereas Rule of Law just dies to enchantment hate. I could see your argument if he was just a creature, but since he's an enchantment creature, I think he's bad.
That is a valid point.
I've been making a lot of those today.
Also goes for Aegis of the Gods.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, you can grape shot targeting Aegis of the Gods, and then can't you redirect the rest of your grape shots to the opponent? Oh no, you can't.
Nope.
Because they resolve one. You have to choose targets before then. So you can just double grape shot, I guess.
That's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. Or you can just lightning bolt it, as we were saying.
Yeah, but then you have to put lightning bolts into your Storm deck.
The one I run in paper runs Lightning Bolt.
Some of them do, some of them don't.
I mean, you can at least sideboard them, because this is a post-board card anyway. I run Bolt over Echoing Truth. I should probably be running Echoing Truth, but I don't have any, so... Alright, got through with Journey. Next we have Conspiracy, but what are your final thoughts on Journey into Nyx?
It beats the crap out of Dragon's Maze.
And it certainly... Or Theros, for that matter. I actually might like drafting again for the first time since Triple Gate Crash.
There's a lot of interesting cards in the set.
Yes, I agree. I think it's going to be fun. Well, I guess Modern Masters, not Gate Crash, but yeah, it looks interesting. I like the format. I think and it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's been a while since we saw a true last set as well. So, given that this will not be, there will not be too many copies of this compared to the enormous amount of copies of Theros, I think there will be some great financial cards here.
Like what? The gods for
a lot of them, actually. A lot of them for Cashel and for other formats as well.
Well,
so I think, and we don't know what will be relevant in next standard. So
that's true.
I think there will be a lot of sneakers here that will be worth. I don't quite
know
a bit,
if gods are going to be good post-rotation.
That totally depends on what we're doing when we're going to Clans of Boogaboo or whatever its name is.
What's it called?
It's the number one speculation right now. Yui is actually overdue for an announcement.
They were going to announce it at day two of Pro Tour Journey.
All right. So the number one speculation I've seen is that it's a bottom-up set designed around mechanics, and it's probably about clans, like a Mongol theme, or Mongols attack the Chinese wall theme, and that there's a risk of reprint from Portal Three Kingdoms, because they want more of those cards, as that is, they are so rare. So,
it'd be interesting. I would love to see Portal reprinted. I mean, just for horsemanship alone.
It's probably not horsemanship that they're looking for.
For horsemanship alone, I mean, we haven't had anything like that since, what, Shadow?
I think so, yeah.
And that was way back. Yeah. The last thing that had Shadow was Time Spiral?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. I really don't like unblockability conditionally and limited. That's just me, though.
I think Wizards design agree with you, and that's why we haven't seen it. And I think Shadow and similar abilities are unlikely to reappear.
Alright, so let's quickly go over Dak. So
Dak!
Half of Dak.
Faden is finally getting a card. Finally getting represented.
So
I'm
Dak
happy
Faden
to see this.
Fading. For one red, blue, 3-mana planeswalker. +1, target player draws 2 cards. -2, gain control of target. -6, you get an emblem, a spell that targets.
This, if the first ability is target player draws 2 cards, and the second ability is gain control of target creature, this is insane.
Well, it's probably target player draws 2 cards, then discards 2 cards.
Sentence doesn't continue. There's a...
No, it's split down the middle, half of the card.
Yeah, but see the end of the sentence, you see 2 cards.
Right, so it can say target player draws 2 cards, then target player draws 2
cards. The sentence ends after cards.
No.
Okay, if you say draws 2 cards, then discards.
It's on a lower line. Yeah. You're looking at the text, not the actual card.
No, I'm looking at the card. I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's on a different line, so they can say
so there's some text in between there. A lot of
it's
text.
It's probably gain control of target non-land permanent or non-creature permanent.
Sounds pretty good.
Or gain
control
of target.
We don't know what it's,
until end of turn wouldn't fit, so.
And we don't know how big it is.
Right. And then, you get an emblem, a spell that targets, so it's probably something like, I don't know, maybe like Venser.
Well, the top comment that they've got on Mythic says, the -6 is you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell that targets a player, you draw 2 cards. It's speculated at.
Interesting. Yeah, the -2 could be gain target creature, or, whenever
a gain control of target artifact.
Oh yeah, blue is known for
F blue. This is pure flavor. Pure flavor.
Blue
Dak
is
a
known
thief.
To steal artifacts.
Dak is a thief.
Right.
But, I wonder how many of the conspiracy cards will make it into Vintage Masters.
You know, I'm seeing the last one. The last one will probably put something on the field whenever you cast a spell that targets a player, deal damage. Because there is no red to other than the draw 2 cards, discard 2 cards, which is still a blue mechanic.
Well, faithless looting, but yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like a lot of text to put in there. A spell
yeah,
that
because
targets,
it's only
deal
2 lines.
Damage to, yeah, it's, that doesn't fit.
I don't know. Useless speculation is useless, right? Anything else? Oh, the new card type. Have any of you played Hearthstone?
What? No, I'm about to do it. On Thursday night, I'm scheduled to play some Hearthstone.
Still haven't played Hearthstone.
So, Conspiracy is the card type, and it looks like a little scroll, and then there's the artwork, but it looks like a scroll. I think Conspiracy is only for this set, am I correct by that?
It's the only what?
Is only for this set, it won't be in future sets?
Well, I read somewhere they said that there's 13 cards that are being printed in Conspiracy that are not vintage legal.
That probably is the Conspiracy.
That's probably the 13 Conspiracy cards.
I think that Conspiracies function like Secrets do in Hearthstone, and what Secrets do in Hearthstone is you pay a certain amount of mana, you set it face down, you tell your opponent you have a secret, and then when something happens, your secret triggers and it happens. So it's kind of like a morph card.
No, I'm wondering if it's anything like a plane chase.
We've already seen Conspiracy cards without the Conspiracy ability that is illegal in Vintage. The specific draft cards, right?
Right. Like Clockwork Librarian. Well, I guess that would be fine in Vintage, but... So, yeah.
No, he doesn't make sense in Vintage, right? So it can't be Vintage legal.
True. Well, there's no... He can just be a 3-mana 2/2 because he does nothing.
Yes.
So, yeah. 65 unique cards, we've seen 4 of them, interesting.
My question from earlier then, I wonder how much space they will give for Conspiracy cards.
Well, if there are 13 that are not legal, you have to do at least 10 if it's a new card type, so probably all 13 are Conspiracies.
But does that mean that we get the other cards in Vintage Masters? Because they would be reluctant to print new cards that are not available online.
Well, in Vintage Masters,
Vintage Masters is supposed to contain a lot of Conspiracy cards.
Vintage Masters is supposed to contain the Conspiracy cards that are going to be meaningful in Vintage. So, like, if Dak Faden ends up being a Legacy/Vintage card, Dak would be in the set, but
that's too,
like Magister of Worth, for example, is not going to be a Vintage card, so that probably won't be in the set.
No, they're not going to. None of Conspiracy is going to be in Vintage Masters.
Oh, it is.
It will be.
I thought they were.
I don't see it.
Officially stated that some Vintage cards.
Yeah, I thought the ones that function within the current limits of Magic would.
Okay. None of the cards have ever been played in Vintage, so why? How could that be a quote unquote Masters set?
One of the points of Vintage Masters is to reduce the amount of cards that are not available online.
Right.
So adding to the amount of cards that are not available online doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right. So I think what they're going to do is exactly what you were saying. Well, they have officially stated that they're going to put some in. I don't remember what the number was or if there was a number.
Yeah. And that makes me, there's a lot of people sort of speculating in buying Vintage cards online now.
Yeah.
That seems extremely risky because the relevant Vintage cards will be reprinted.
Well, depends how relevant. Like, what's a good Vintage card that's not a huge Vintage card?
Days?
No. Something that's online already has Vintage...
They're going to reprint for Legacy as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Days is an extremely likely reprint.
Yeah. Well, Jace got reprinted in From the Vault 20 and stayed around for, 3 months or something? So if you wanted your Jaces, you have no excuse for not getting them, right?
Yeah, Jace seems to be a pretty good pickup right now.
Well, he's
especially
actually already started spiking.
From the Vault Jace, which hasn't spiked yet.
Well, from the foil promos, which I'm considering that a promo, don't really go up that much.
But if people want to play Jace and are offered, do you want to pay 100 for the World Wake or 25 for the From the Vault? So I'm sure it will go up. It's, after all, one of the best cards in the game.
Yep. Alright, so, is there anything else we want to mention? This is already a long episode.
Wow, 2.5
hours. So pretty long episode. I think we're pretty good wrapping it up. We can get to shoutouts.
Yep. Moto_Mart on Magic Online, MTG Madness. Go check them out. Links in the show notes.
Let them know we sent
you. Well, you can't really for Moto Mart, but we're not going to fault you for trying.
Dan, do you have anyone you want to shout out to?
Yeah, I'll give a shout out to Brennan, Cerulean, and to Bava for doing awesome work with the YouTube channel.
I thought you were meeting another Brennan. And I was going to say no.
No. Cerulean, then.
Okay, well, shout out to you guys. I don't know who you are, but if Dan shouts you out, you're likely good people.
They are good people. They are good people.
If Grayson right. shouts you out, I don't know. I trust.
So now you're neutral to them.
Yeah, now I'm neutral. I don't know, guys. You're probably not listening, but yeah, no. So, yeah.
And shout out to Pauper to the People, who I'm going to cast with in 4 hours. 4.5 hours. And I'm supposed to sleep in between there.
I was going to say, oh, you're God. Just up all night.
All night.
And I'm taking a train in 8 hours.
Now, instead of sleeping, there's this thing called coffee.
And drafting.
And drafting. Drafting will keep you up.
You can do a draft right now.
Stream
oh, wait. Stream a draft.
Evil tempter. I don't stream, but...
You should.
You could record a draft.
No, you should stream a draft so that I can heckle you in chat.
Well, we just missed a daily trigger, didn't we?
What was the daily?
I don't know. It'd be at 6 o'clock.
Well,
the next daily is Theros Block Sealed.
At 7?
Wait, I'm looking at the wrong thing. It's Monday. Monday's 6 p.m.
I'm just
standard daily.
A client.
Next would be modern.
It's Tuesday here, actually.
Yeah, so your next daily would be
if
modern.
If you want to borrow Mono Black Control and Standard, I could do that. Oh, Standard Fired.
Yeah, Standard Fired.
Limited champs at 7:30, Dan, in 1 hour and 20 minutes.
You can do it! Do
it!
Oh, come on. You on Popper to the People being sleep deprived would be awesome.
Yes, sleep deprived with coffee.
Yeah, I just finished my 5th cup of coffee during this podcast.
So how are you going to sleep with all that caffeine in you?
Oh, wait, and you haven't had to go to the bathroom once. You are a champ.
Yes.
Maybe I did go to the bathroom.
I went to the bathroom once and I just had a glass of water.
Well, this has been great, guys.
Yes, thank you for coming on. Contact information. Do you want to plug your site that you're probably listening to the show on and YouTube channel and all that nonsense?
Yeah, I'll plug the YouTube channel. It's Magic Gathering Strat. And, or Fan of History then, of course. I'm running 7 YouTube channels now, but those two are the relevant ones. And the best way to contact me would be on Magic Gathering Strat.
All right. And Greystone?
No.
Or our stuff can just go in the show notes.
Yeah, I could do show notes. Yeah. Everyone who's listened to us for a while knows how to get a hold of us.
Yep.
Especially our haters, so shout
Hi,
out
Brian.
To them.
They always find you, don't they?
Oh, they love us.
They do, actually. Oh, I have to get those rants for you to listen to.
Alright.
Alright, so thank you all very much for listening. We will be back next week.
And please, comment.
We might release the pancake rant if we get enough. What's the threshold for comments?
Pancake and naked men.
No, we're only releasing the pancake one.
Aww.
5 comments and we'll release it.
10.
7.
8.5.
8.5 comments.
8.5 comments. There's both of them. The rant one is the one that you probably want to listen to. The pancake rant is the one that's about pancakes.
Awesome.
All right. So thank you all very much for listening. 8.5 comments, and we release the pancake rant.
Do it.
And that's between MTGO Strat and MTGCast, or tweets at me or whatever. So, we'll be back next week, episode 52, just ended.
Respectable.